I know it's a fun time to be at city council meeting and everybody's talking with each other, and that's good. We're delighted that each of you are here tonight. And I know we've got a couple of subjects that brought you, and that's good. We'll be able to discuss them and hopefully take proper actions. If you want to speak as we get into our agenda, you certainly can do that. Just raise your hand, and we'll acknowledge you at the proper time to come up to the mic and make your comment. If you would, please, try to hold your comments to 5 minutes so that we never know how many people want to speak, but we want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity and it doesn't run too late at night. So as we begin our meeting on this July 9th, 2012, we'll have our council prayer and pledge of allegiance.
May we pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, our Maker, and our Sustainer, we thank you for this another day, a gift from you. We're so grateful that you have provided to us a reasonable portion of health and strength. Lord, as we discuss the business of the evening, we ask that you open our hearts that we might feel you, open our minds that we might know you, open our eyes that we might see you in the faces of others. Enable us to discern between that which is good and which is not. Make us builders of bridges, not barriers or obstructionists. When we make mistakes, correct us. When we fall, we ask that you pick us up. Help us to continue to serve our community with sincerity and dedication. You've shown favor on our community and our dedicated staff, and we thank you for your blessings. We pray that as they face negative comments and opposition in their daily work, that you will be their companion as well as their guide. Father, we don't know if we've done any harm to our fellow man, but if so, we ask your forgiveness. Help us to remember that all things work together for the good of those who serve you. And we promise to acknowledge your gift and praise in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business is the minutes. Consideration of the June 25th, 2012 regular meeting minutes. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I
so move.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is appointments to boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have three pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. Now, that information is attached in the agenda packet that council received tonight. For consideration tonight, council member Hamoki has recommended the appointment of John Horvath to the Housing Authority Board to fill the unexpired term of Kent Covage, who resigned. Mr. Horvath's term would expire May 28, 2015, because the Housing Authority Board appointments are 4 or 5 year terms to comply with state statute. Councilmember Wells has recommended the appointment of Butch Roberson to the General Aviation Commission to fill the unexpired term of a member who recently died. That appointment would expire September 1, 2013. So for consideration by council tonight are these two appointments.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the appointees.
Okay. I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. How about nominations? Are there any nominations for reappointment or new members to go on our agenda at our next meeting? Okay, very good. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to redraw city council member districts and implement a 6-1 districting plan. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you so much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending section 14-1 of the Aiken City Code to provide for the mayor to be elected at large and six council members to be elected from single member districts, and amending section 14-2 of the Aiken City Code to provide for the terms of office for mayor and council members. Council will recall that in November, the citizens voted to approve a change to the districting for city council from a 4-2-1 plan that served us very well for 20 years, but as you've heard, is no longer sustainable, to then go to single member districts, having six districts with each council member being elected from a specific district. The mayor would continue to be elected at large. Jim Holly is here, who's the attorney who's been helping us with this process, along with Will Roberts from the South Carolina Office of Statistics. And they have additional information here. As you saw from the minutes from the March 26th meeting, there was some question about a potential alternate plan to what was approved on first reading. And the ordinance at first reading talked about adoption of a Plan 1. You adopted that, and we held several public information sessions. We received some comments at one session where some of the districts that were proposed had kind of finger-like appendages to the district. So the office went back and did some recalculations and line drawing with that particular plan and eliminated those finger appendages to the district. So what you have in your packet tonight is a Plan 2. That plan shows the original plan with just the minor modifications that were made as a result of the public hearings. Then you also have Plan 3. There was some question about whether a downtown district could be established, and Council Member DeWar had shared with you some concerns about the effect of the new District 6 carving up Aiken Estates, and it was discussed at that meeting preparation of a plan to show a different configuration for that area of the city. Council Member DeWar is not able to be with us tonight. He did call me and expressed his sentiment that he would like to see this heard at your August meeting. We've got Mr. Holly here. We've got Mr. Roberts here to talk to you about these two different plans. But for consideration for council tonight on second reading is adoption of a single-member district plan pursuant to the exhibits that we've prepared. So, Jim?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, it's a pleasure to be with you again. I'll start, if I may, with Plan 2, and I believe you have in your agenda package. Plan 2, as Mr. Pierce indicated, does, particularly along Pine Log Road, remove some of the fingers or intrusions across Pine Log from one district to another, and it's on the screen now. In addition, with your package is Plan 2 statistics, and they have been, they reflect the change in boundaries, but they also reflected some corrections that were made by the Office of Research and Statistics by Mr. Bowers and Mr. Roberts to clean up some, blocks that were
non-contiguous areas.
Could we put Plan 2 up in that center easel, please, if that's what we're talking about?
And Will can address the statistics, but there are no material changes in the statistics. The deviation is about, from the most populated district to the least populated district, is about 4%. But that is well within 5 to 10% standard that the courts use under the Voting Rights Act. And the two minority districts, 1 and 2, still maintain very strong population numbers as well as voting age populations. District 1 population minority 62.77, District 2 65.82, and then if you move over to the third to the last column, voting age minority population in 1 is 58.85, and then in 2 61.94. And Will, is there anything else that needs to be pointed out on this cleanup?
That's pretty much the change in the thing. What we had to do is go back. We found some places that, because of the annexations and the donut holes that are inside the city of Aiken, there were some areas that were questionably contiguous or not contiguous. So what we ended up doing was going back and making sure that those pieces were contiguous, so the Department of Justice will have no problem with the plan that we submit up there. And in changing and in making those changes, it was a slight change in some of the districts. Maybe 20, 30 people in some of the districts changed, but nothing major as far as demographics and statistics are concerned.
And I assume council can see the plans 1 and 2. And again, most of the changes are along Pine Log Road East, as I recall. And then plan 3 is the one that
council discussed at first reading, an alternate.
Right. And the major, I mean, that does even up the districts a little bit, but it does place Mr. DeMar and Mr. Wells in the same district.
Yeah. Again, the numbers and all, they were passed muster with the
Justice Department. Yes, sir. I think Will and Mr. Bowers and myself, I'd like to get more than myself saying this. No, but I think we're comfortable with the numbers and going to the single-member district plan, that it would that the Justice Department would not object to it and allow it to be implemented.
Mr. Holley, I had had a conversation with Councilman Dwar just the end of last week regarding this, and I know, and you know, initially when he recommended going to Plan 3, mm-hmm. was we felt as though the position for House District 81, we would know whether or not a council member would be leaving in June. And so at that time, we would not be rezoning out a sitting council member.
Correct.
My concern is, and you tell me legally, the council member that could possibly be leaving council would have a at-large term that is unfulfilled. Though if a special election were to be held, it would have to be for an at-large council member, which could come from anywhere within the city of Aiken. If that council member came from a district other than the newly created 6, then come November 2013, that member could not run for council unless they ran against a sitting council member.
Correct. That's correct.
Is all of that okay legally?
May I respond to it this way? Council has the legal flexibility to consider that in what its decision, whether to redistrict now or redistrict later, because having district, preserving districts for sitting council members is a legally permissible interest that the courts would respect. So it's council has flexibility to deal with it now if it chooses, or very soon, so that the districts would be reviewed and approved by the Justice Department, whoever might, if a council member is elected to House District 81, whoever might run to fill the unexpired term of the at-large district, which would be for a period of about maybe 8 months, would know which district they live in and what their chances for election under the new plan might be, which will be up this district, I think, would be up for re-election in the 2013 general election.
That is correct.
Yeah. And if I can talk a little bit more specifically about the timing, if you like.
Yes. What concerns me is, I mean, do we leave ourselves open for a lawsuit if we were to delay the redistricting until we knew?
If I may, and the answer is that, and I've mentioned this before, the longer the city goes until it adopts a second reading of a new single-member district plan and has Justice Department pre-clear it, the greater the chance someone might choose to sue the council, the existing council plan on the one-person, one-vote concept. And again, that may be a low risk, but the longer that risk is there, the greater it is. With respect to the scenario that we're talking about, it's not so much legal as it is practical and considerations, and if I may say, you know, whether or not it's better policy. Because if the person, if the individual council is elected in November to district in the District 81 race, and council has not adopted a plan yet, the city council member would be leaving office in mid to late November. And by state law, and you may have a copy of this, the filing period for that position, for people who wanted to run for city council, starts 3 weeks later. So the filing period would start in the first or second week in December and run for 10 days. Well, if you wait until November after the election for House seats to pass a redistricting plan, that's not going to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department until months after the filing period starts. And so whoever files wouldn't know with any degree of certainty which district they may be in under the redistricting plan, especially if council might choose to change its mind and go with District 3, Plan 3, instead of Plan 1 or 2.
Mr. Holley, does that mean that that particular seat would be vacant indefinitely?
No, if the city council member is elected and takes office in sometime before the end of November, yes, the seat would be vacant until the election is held to fill it, the special election. And the special election would be sometime around mid-March under state law. But, of course, before that, you have to have the primaries, assuming there's more than one candidate. You have to have time for petition candidates. But then you go back to the filing period begins in early December. And so there's obviously no way to have to wait. If you wait that long, whoever runs will not know what district they may end up in when the new plan is then adopted and pre-cleared by Justice and implemented in November 2013.
Mr. Holley, just another clarification and follow up with Mr. Wells said. When he or she or whoever is elected, in this case Mr. Wells, he is not holding another public office until he's sworn in.
Right, that, which would be...
So he would serve until January something.
I think the swearing in is in November.
So he's supposedly the first Monday after the election is held.
So he's no longer city councilman anymore.
Not legally. No. No, he would.
A serving city councilman.
When that happens, I assume the council member would resign. But even if he didn't, that holding that office would expire, and it become vacant with that swearing in. So that's the way it may have been used to be in January, but now they do swearing in earlier. So that I think the new representatives can participate in local issues and matters that occur before January.
Okay, but then we have two District 81 representatives, because Mr. Young is still a representative.
No, he would be sworn in at the same time.
He has a senator at the same time.
Right.
I just want to get my P's and Q's.
Hopefully they'll coordinate.
And then the next city councilman wouldn't take effect until after the March elections.
Correct. Right. There would be a vacancy in that at-large position until then.
And so, if I'm understanding you correctly, at that point in the game, it would be too late once we know who that person may be to start the redistricting process.
Yes, because
and get it approved for the 2013 election.
Correct. It would I think if you passed it, say, by December, January, February, you wouldn't know till over two months after the filing period started whether the plan had been pre-cleared by justice.
Is there a law that says the supplemental vote has to be at a certain time?
Right.
It's
Section 7-13-190 of the state code, and it sets out these time periods for filing, primaries, and the general election. And the general election has to be held on the 18th Tuesday after the vacancy occurs, which would be approximately mid-March. And the filing period begins, by law, the third Friday after the vacancy occurs.
Now, also, so in other words, the next election, if Mr. Wells is elected to 81, that would be an election at large.
Correct.
And then come September, whatever day we set, that would be an election for District 6.
Correct. Correct. And correct.
That would be for the November 2013 general election.
Right.
Is that when the next city council election is next year, is it not?
Right. Now, the primaries would be before that, but the general election would be November 2013.
I think it's the primary that's going to be in September before the November election.
I think it's earlier than that.
Okay. So we have, so whoever runs potentially has to run twice in the same year.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Mr. Mayor, just one, if there are no other questions, one concluding remark. In making comments about the special election and schedule and the schedule for it, I certainly would defer or at least want the city attorney to agree or reach a consensus on that particular issue. But it seems like that's what the process is based on existing state law.
And you had provided us with that timeline before, I believe, right. We were talking about
right.
This.
And if council is inclined tonight or in a subsequent meeting to vote on second reading, if you want to clearly pass Plan 2 with the corrected statistics, it would appear that an amendment to the ordinance would need to be proffered and voted on before the ordinance as amended is adopted.
Okay. All right. Chairman, well, thank you very much. Hang around a little while. We'll see, first of all, if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue. You certainly may. Okay. Again, you come up to the mic and just give us your name for the record's sake.
I'm Ann Wilbrand. I saw these two plans just a few minutes ago this evening. And I live on Dibble Road, and I think Plan 3 makes a lot of sense. I understand your concerns about these elections, but to put the Westcliff, Kamea Hill part of the city in the downtown district makes a lot more sense because it's contiguous, and then putting Hounds Lake and Aiken Estates in the same district on the south side of the woods makes a lot of sense. And so if I were somebody who was going to have the option of voting on this, I'd vote for Plan 3. It just really seems to flow a lot better.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to make a comment on it? Okay. Let's back to council. Any comments on Plan 2, Plan 3, if you want to?
I guess, Mr. Mayor, and be sure I interpret it right, we don't have a choice other than to approve Plan 2. From what Mr. Holly, that was my interpretation. If you don't, you're against the law because we have to have all of these in sequence, and I understand that. But if we don't approve 2, unless we bring it up again before the November election.
I think Mr. Holly would like to clarify.
Yeah, let's make sure that he...
Make sure that's the understanding, because I got the impression we don't have a choice.
I respectfully disagree. It's not a legal constraint you're operating under. I think it's a policy decision as to whether council wants to take, I guess, the chance that's... that there's a change in council membership, a special election, and whoever runs for that at-large seat would not know which district, when they finish up their term, as an at-large member, they would, excuse me, when they file to run at-large, they wouldn't know which district they're going to be in come November of 2013 if they choose to run for re-election. That may discourage people possibly from running for the at-large seat, and it would certainly put them at a disadvantage. But that's not a legal issue. That's a, I respectfully suggest, a policy issue.
Well, that's a philosophy issue or policy.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
I misunderstood.
Sir.
Excuse me.
That's not wrong.
Well, question, what's the consequence if nobody gets elected? What if the seat is vacant until November?
The county.
Is that against the law?
You mean the county?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Is it? I don't believe that's ever happened in the history of
elections. You have a group of people that do not have representation.
You would have people that don't have representation. The only thing I can think of that I or your city attorney would have to look up is that is it possible the governor might have the right to appoint somebody in that situation. I don't know that it's happened before, but it could be that there would be no representation until.
But it's an at-large seat, though.
Correct. So, it is at-large. Legally, it has to continue to be at-large to fill the unexpired term of at-large member, plus the state law under which you're establishing the new plan, which is a single-member district plan, says that change is to be implemented at the next municipal general election, which would be November 13.
And I must say that in 1987, I was faced with that, with someone moving from city council to county council, and I ran at large with this kind of same situation.
Right, because the 421 plan came in 1990.
Right, and this is when everyone was at large.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other thoughts on this? I would just say this, that we've been working very hard. We appreciate Jim and Will for your hard work and your excellent work, I will say. You've helped us for many years. We appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir.
And, I hate to see us delay this any longer for reasons that have been mentioned. I think it's as good as we're going to get. We could, you know, each of us could probably come up here and look at that thing and say, well, why is this like this? Why don't we move this to this? And there are reasons why, obviously, that the districts have to be as close as possible to the same number of people in those districts. So this is not an easy thing, obviously, to go through. I will make a motion that we approve plan number 2 as amended. Is there a second?
Seconded if you explain as amended.
Well,
it's slightly amended from the plan 1 that you passed on first reading.
I'm sorry,
it took into consideration the public comments that we received in the public hearing.
Right. I second.
You second? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Very good. Thank you again, Jim. Will, thank you so much.
We appreciate you being here.
Stuart, thank you too. You and Tim.
The submission. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Jim.
Okay, item 3 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to assign the Buzz Ave. Dell Hangar, Incorporated Hangar, lease to Victory Aviation Services, Incorporated. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving the reassignment of a lease between Biz Avdale, Inc. and Victory Aviation Services, Inc. Out at the airport, we have two different hangars. One hangar is on the FBO's leased space area. That formerly belonged to the Wyatt Development Corporation. Biz Avdale wound up buying out that sublease. And as a matter of protocol, the FBO has a right to approve or disapprove the assignment of any lease within the FBO leased area. So as part of the motion tonight, if council wishes to approve this on second reading, any approval of the sublease of the Biz Avdale lease for the hangar that's in the FBO lease area would be subject to approved by the FBO. The additional hangar is actually on City of Aiken land, so council certainly can approve that. The FBO does not have to provide approval for that. So for City Council approval tonight is, on second reading, is the public hearing of an ordinance to reassign these two hangar leases from Biz Avdel Inc. to Victory Aviation Services Incorporated.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
And just so I can be clear for the record, that is on the condition that the FBO provide the approval of the assignment of the lease within the FBO area. Is that correct? If Mr. Hummock says yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay, going to new business. Item one, first reading of an ordinance to amend the Ridge at Chucka Creek concept plan. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. We do have an ordinance for consideration tonight, and then I'd like to go over some items if I could. The title of the ordinance is simply an ordinance amending the concept plan for the Ridge at Chucka Creek. Council will recall about a year ago we had several concerned residents in the Woodside subdivision who expressed concerns about the natural buffer between the Ridge at Chucka Creek and their subdivision. There were some questions about planning in the natural buffer area. There was also a question about the detention area. When you approved this concept plan in 2006, and that is in your materials we provided tonight, there was discussion about a 25-foot wide natural buffer on the property line and then 25 feet dedicated to an equestrian trail. During the course of the development of the subdivision, it became apparent that there was a severe erosion problem on that northern boundary of the property. There was considerable discussion about that, and the developer wound up installing along that northern border, as you can see on the exhibit that's up on the screen now, some very large rock of riprap, and that helped stem the erosion problem. Coming forward, there were several administrative approvals by our planning department director to make some changes that the director has done in other subdivisions as far as the location of access to the equestrian trail. These are all contained in his memo on page 85 and then a drawing that you have on page 89 in the materials. Some of the roads were relocated at the entrance into the subdivision. The original concept plan had showed several lots along the northern border right at the entrance of Chucker Creek Road. Those were eliminated and the road was moved closer to the property line. There was some realignment of the paddock area, and there was also some open space that was reconfigured. We've had several discussions about this, not only in council chambers, but the city attorney and the planning director. Our engineering and utilities director has also gone out on site, as have I, to look at the progress of the development of the subdivision. Some of the concerns that came up last year were the question of whether the riprap on the northern boundary or northern border of the subdivision would remain in place. And based on those discussions, we prepared an ordinance that came before you for consideration last year to amend the concept plan to drop the equestrian trail on that northern boundary, understanding that there are green spaces on the southern portion of the subdivision as well as along the power line easement and in other locations as shown on that concept plan that you have. It's on page 88. And at that time, the developer had indicated that he did not wish to amend the concept plan, so that court issue died. We did work with the developer on planting vegetation along that northern border. Several pine trees were planted. Some ligustrum had been planted. An irrigation system was located on the side of the Woodside side of the existing hog wire fence that's between the two subdivisions. Below the detention area, an installation was put in. If I'm not mistaken, I think the water main for the subdivision was installed there. Then there was considerable plant material and landscaping that was done by the developer there. And in addition to that, there were some modifications to the detention pond as far as the size pipe for the outlet. I think the original plans had shown 36 inches and an 18-inch installation was actually done at the subdivision. So you have in here a petition from the residents of Woodside, and they list at the start of that petition three major concerns. One, that the developer be accountable for the 25-foot undisturbed natural buffer that was in the concept plan approved by the city, and that the developer be held responsible for planting appropriate vegetation to provide a visual buffer along the property line between the two developments, and three, that no additional trees be removed. That's Tressin here, but the additional trees be removed. And again, I'll take full responsibility for the memo I wrote, and I inadvertently put in there that they, the residents of Woodside, had petitioned to revise the concept plan. The reason I drafted that way, and now I realize that was not the best way to write that sentence, is that back in 2006, when you talked about the equestrian trail, there was some question about whether the trail would be in its 25-foot width easement, or would it potentially meander over into this natural area, natural vegetative buffer? And that was discussed by the developer. Well, if the concern is not to remove any additional trees from the vegetated buffer area, the elimination of the equestrian trail would accomplish that, because that would be the threat to the existing trees and vegetation in the area. And again, we had a discussion not only with the developer, but with his business manager and his attorney. They're all present here tonight. And they stated that they would be in agreement to remove the equestrian trail along that northern border, not the rest of the development, but just that northern border. And we're particularly talking about the section where the riprap is located, because that way it could stay in place and help control the erosion. That leaves us with the vegetated buffer between the two developments. That is an issue that is a concern by the residents that have signed the petition. And there are several pine trees that were installed that have since died. Of course, it's July, and typically, according to our city horticulturalists, the best time of year for putting plant material in would be late fall, that October, November time frame. So in discussions with the developer, we understand that the developer stands ready to make good about this plant installation that has died. I think there's some existing irrigation lines that are in place. They're in need of repair, and our understanding is that would be accomplished as well. And then that leaves us with the equestrian trail. I think there's some concern that it was going to be removed from the entire subdivision. The actual stable for the subdivision is in a location away from the Woodside development, and our understanding is there is existing equestrian trails that are still located in the subdivision, and that those would remain. Again, that's my understanding based on the conversations we've had. Everyone's here tonight, and they can speak to that. It's an unusual situation in that typically a developer would file an application with the planning department. That would go to planning commission, and then it would come to city council for consideration. But since we're in this kind of unusual situation where you have several concerns, one would be whether that vegetative buffer will be preserved, two, that the dead plant material would be replaced, three, that no additional trees be removed from it, four, that the equestrian amenity for the rest of the division stay intact, and then five, that we have a process and a specific description of what would be done on the record, because as council will recall too, there is a letter of credit in place that the developer has presented at our request. That is set to expire in October of 2014, and that covers items such as storm drainage, the detention pond and its condition, the sanitary sewer, the water mains, the catch basins and the manhole covers, as well as the road paving. The final layer of asphalt's not been poured because in phase one there were additional homes being built. Those of us who've gone out there have seen heavy equipment in place, and the hope was to get that construction done and then put the final layer of asphalt up. But then the other additional thing, and this is very important, it covers the easement where the riprap is located and covers that plant material. So that's all under the purview of the letter of credit. The developer has certainly put an installation in place. Unfortunately, we've had some of the plant material die, but that will be replaced. So in an effort with everybody in the same room to try and address these concerns, we do have this first reading of an ordinance to delete the equestrian trail. That would actually, if council so inclined to vote on that on first reading, you could then refer it to Planning Commission for their consideration based on the application. There would be a public hearing at Planning Commission and then an additional public hearing before council. So what you have before you tonight is the this first reading of an ordinance to amend the Ridgett Chucker Creek concept plan. And I want to be clear with council that you do have a petition from the residents of Woodside with their three concerns that I just put in the record. And that's that no additional trees be removed, that the let's see. I want to make sure I say this correctly, that the developer remain accountable for the undisturbed natural buffer, and that the developer plant appropriate vegetation to provide a visual buffer along that property line at the two developments.
Okay, thank you, sir. I know that we have a lot of folks here. We appreciate you being here from Woodside and other places that are interested in this. What I'd like to suggest here is that we ask you to speak if you'd like to speak on this issue, and then we'll have Mr. Monahan speak so that everybody is speaking, and hopefully we can resolve this and happily by the end of all the speaking. So who would like to speak first? Okay. Okay, Reggie, let council say there what they have to say. Excuse me, go ahead.
I guess this has got a long history, and I guess I'm part of the problem for letting it go this far. I've learned on one of the other things when we had the retirement community, if there's a disagreement, we should handle it much sooner than we did. And I guess when I read this, the petition that there, which is on page 199? I think it's
164.
Yeah.
Page 164.
Can she pull up 164, please, then, if that's where the petition is written?
Mm-hmm.
There's been some extended discussions between myself and the city attorney and the city manager about who can change the concept plan. And I guess my concern is, if we say no additional trees to be removed, are we changing the concept plan? And this all comes from administrative ruling that I asked about in March of last year. And so I guess I'm concerned that the citizen petition is overriding an administrative procedure, which is tied in, obviously, to it. I brought that with me if Mr. Biedenbach had put RCC 10, my sheet of paper numbered RCC 10. And this is the...
you're talking about the petition?
Huh?
We've got...
Well, that's the petition.
Right.
And then that petition is based off of what he's fixing to show, an administrative ruling that says that you can remove all the trees. And this was done back in May of 13 of 2010. And this is straight from the minutes of the meeting of August 11th, as well as my reading.
Can we put that up on the projector, please?
Yes, RCC 10.
Right out.
Okay.
It tells us what to do.
All right. So this is what has spurred this along, okay? Can you go to the bottom of the page? The top part, right where his fingers are there, It all goes down, raise it a little higher, if you would.
If I may, is that the memo that's at page 94?
No, the memo at page 164 is the petition. This came from the Planning Commission, originally came from Planning Commission to the City Council, then it was on page 191 of the agenda, from the Planning Commission minutes to the City Council for February 13th. And then after I asked the question in March of 2011, this is the answer from Mr. Evans to Mr. Pierce dated May 13th of 2011. And it's that bottom three sentences that this all started off. Okay. It says the wording is not clear, and this all has to do with the consistency of a 25-foot deep buffer, and I'm reading exactly what's there next to the bottom paragraph.
Excuse me, is that in a packet? What you're reading from?
Yes, you just have to dig down and find it.
It's on 191 up of the council agenda.
Okay.
The River Council meeting agenda.
It's there. Everything I've got here tonight is in the public domain.
It has 191 and page 138 at the bottom.
Because it's a reproduction from another council meeting. Mm-hmm. Consisting of a 25-foot buffer, a 25-foot deep horse trail, and I'm reading from what's on the board, and 25-foot deep undisturbed vegetation buffer, except this buffer may be disturbed for good forestry management, with vegetation added as determined by the planning director. The equestrian trails may intersect with the undisturbed buffer in order to protect existing trees or vegetation. And that's straight out of the... A copy is straight from the concept plan as approved in February of 2006. When I made the question is, the answer is in yellow. This wording is not clear and it does not say where the horse trail and the vegetation buffer are in relation to each other. It makes it clear that the riding path can be within the vegetation buffer as long as a total of 50 feet of the buffer is maintained. Now, the reality is there's no trees there. Today, they've all been taken out.
Are you talking about the area below the detention?
I'm talking about where the drain ditch is now, or the 25-foot buffer that's supposed to be a question trail. All the trees were taken out. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so our point is, okay, the decision was made we're going to put the trail in. It's going to meander into the undisturbed area, and we can do that because we're saving trees, but there's no trees to save. It may be semantics, but that's what our petition is about. So there's an administrative decision here that our petition is grumbling about. Okay. Now, I have no... That's a separate issue from the equestrian trail. We don't think it should meander because there's no trees to save. They were all taken out as per the design that was sent to the city by Mr. Monahan's design group and approved by the city. So... That was what our petition was about, and that was what we'd asked to be on the agenda.
Right, and it's in the agenda packet, and I've clarified my memo tonight. The main thing is, as I understood our conversation too, Mr. Ebner, the elimination of the equestrian trail would remove the threat of the removal of any additional trees. Because there would be no equestrian trail to meander.
That is a true statement. But to eliminate the trail based on what we've asked to be done, I don't think is correct because...
That's what I was trying to clarify tonight, that it's not based on the petition. It's based on the other request I received from council that this item be on the agenda.
But the petition then would be overriding administrative procedure. Can the petition do that? And does council need to vote on that?
The petition, of course, gets the matter before council because citizens can always petition council to address their grievances. And, of course, we had the conversation August a year ago about the modifications to the concept plan. Then we had an additional presentation without the developer present about continuing concerns about the buffer and whether it could be disturbed, if there were going to be additional trees removed, and whether the developer would be held accountable for, planning as the concept plan said in the buffer area. Okay. So, again, that's we were trying, to address the concerns of many different parties. And that's why the ordinance was prepared and brought back, because the difference between now and August of 2011 is that the developer had indicated to us a willingness to go ahead and drop the equestrian buffer on that northern boundary.
Reggie, it sounds like you've got a specific question there. Would you restate it again?
All right. I'll restate. In March of 2011, I sent up a question, or sent really 8 or 9 questions to the city manager. He answered those back. And this answer is at the bottom of this page, what's in yellow. And we objected to taking out trees that are not there. Okay. And the design that the developer submitted, and I brought all the documents with me tonight, and maybe a work session where we can spread all this stuff out is better. But I brought everything, and the developer submitted drawings that eliminated the equestrian trail. And he has submitted those in September of 2006. Okay. The city approved those without the equestrian trail. Okay. And then the as-built drawing was done by Mr. Monahan's team. And the as-built drawing shows the equestrian trail non-existence. And it does show a ditch there. It calls it a grass swell, okay? And that's on the as-built drawings. So after then the next thing that happened, I wrote the letter in March of 2011, asking the question, where is the equestrian trail? Okay, because some people had asked about it on both sides of the fence. And the answer came back, is what in yellow, that it was the wording is not clear. Well, we thought it was clear that the reason you meandered, you saved trees, and the trees are not there.
Okay, I thought you had another question also about whether or not we could go against what had been made.
Mr. Pearson and I discussed it. The petition says not to remove any more trees based on what I got in yellow up there, which is an administrative procedure. Okay. And we don't think that one group of neighbors should be able to rule what goes in another neighborhood. You know, that's our position. Maybe the city attorney has a different position.
I would think council can overrule anything made since we're the last word on...
If the purpose of the ordinance is to modify the concept plan to delete the horse trail on the line adjacent to the northern buffer, then I'm not sure what answering your question is going to help council deal with the modification to the concept plan.
I do, because you're using the petition to justify the removal of the equestrian trail, and that's not correct.
No, and if you look at the first line of my memo, it's because council members requested the item be put on the agenda, and our conversations with the developer underscored that, unlike last August, the developer is now amenable to removing the equestrian trail on the northern boundary. That's what gets it back before you.
But he can't remove it because of our petition. I mean, that's where we're going to draw the line in the sand.
It's two separate items.
Right.
But I guess maybe what I need to ask for, I'm real hesitant to leave page 81, which is the introduction, with the words in there. If we don't get the words changed before we vote on something...
I've clarified on the record, Mr. Ebner. I mean, the memo's gone out. It's just my cover memo. What's important is the actual ordinance. And, in fact, the ordinance in that Section 1, Paragraph 1, it should read that the northern border equestrian trail shown on the original concept plan be deleted. So I think that accomplishes it. It doesn't have anything to do with the petition. It's just based on what we put on the record that the developer is the owner is amenable to remove that.
All right. Just so it's clarified, and we got a lot of citizens that want to speak about it, and I think they need to have their say. And I guess you can ask Mr. Monahan or however you want to answer it, but did Mr. Monahan and his group, or maybe I should say the developer at the ridge of Chucker Creek that encloses everybody, did he make his decision based on the petition, or did he make it on just discussions with the council versus what happened in August of 2011?
We
based it on the petition, then I need to hear him say that, if he did or didn't.
Okay. Again, the only thing I can tell you is this was going on the agenda because it was requested to be on the agenda at the June 25th meeting. So we were putting it on the agenda. That obviously started our discussion with the developer. In the course of our conversation with the developer, unlike August of last year, he stated to us, as his business manager and attorney stated, that they were amenable to remove the equestrian trail on the northern boundary. That removed the impediment that existed before, as according to the city attorney, that it would take the developer's consent in order to modify that concept plan. That's what got us all here tonight.
Okay. My understanding is we're not going to vote on the petition. I mean, it's just one other item to consider. The first part of it says, there should be 25 feet of undisturbed natural buffer. Is that in fact still true, or has
that's in
that,
the concept plan?
Has that been disturbed? I mean, has vegetation been taken out of that 25-foot buffer? Forget about the horse trail for the second, but
there's some that's been taken out, there's some that's been replaced, and obviously Mother Nature has not been very kindly to it.
Yeah,
and then there's some that still needs to be done, and that's been stated in here. Okay, so that one we have covered.
Okay. Then what's the second question?
The second one?
It's the last one, that no attritional trees be removed. And our concern is not only mine, but we had some meetings with the neighbors, of which 26 of them showed up to say that, hey, if you're going to put the equestrian trail in, and they're really immaterial to them, but you can't take out any trees. And the administrative procedure said that you could take out the trees.
Well, the ordinance would override the planning director's administrative interpretation.
But if we do what I understand the citizens have asked in the petition, which are those three items, that should take care, should it not?
It's a no-brainer.
I agree with that, but this petition would override an administrative procedure.
Yes, it will.
And that's okay.
Well, Gary, the council can override an administrative procedure. We can reserve the decision to the council and take it away from the planning
committee. We need to hear from the
petition would not, but the ordinance
the council passes.
Whatever we vote on here would override what's been done before.
A petition of citizens does not override a council decision.
No.
But this is an administrative decision.
Well, you've got an ordinance, though.
But that administrative decision has not been appealed. There is a process to appeal that decision. No. That time has been gone a long time ago.
That's the reason we brought an ordinance back, to hopefully address the concerns of everyone, the developer, the folks that are in the subdivision the developer's built, the folks in the adjacent subdivision, and then the folks that have an interest in the equestrian trails. That's what we're trying to do.
So in other words, it goes back to what I said before. I'm learning a lot of things, so I should appeal this with, 2 weeks or something that the administrative decision came out? So that's the whole issue, is what's up in yellow on the board.
You should what? You should
I can't appeal this decision. It stands. That the planning director says we can put the equestrian trail in the undisturbed areas.
Well, now, when the concept plan came before council in 2006, there was a discussion about the equestrian trail and whether it might meander into the undisturbed buffer in order to save a tree. And again, I think, we spent a lot of time talking about 2006. We have to come forward to the situation we've got today. This ordinance that we drafted is an attempt to address not only the developer's willingness to delete that equestrian trail in the northern border, but to, as in turn, in passing that ordinance, address the concerns of the neighbors that additional trees not be removed, the dead vegetation be replaced, and that the development complies with the concept plan for that vegetative buffer between the two subdivisions.
Then we would also, the city attorney would need to say we need to repeal, item 4 of the original ordinance, which says you must save trees to meander it. I'm getting specific here, and I guess I'm unhappy with my inconsistency not following up on this, but the item 4 specific. It says the trail may intersect with the undisturbed buffer in order to protect existing trees or vegetation.
Well, if there's no equestrian trail on the northern border, it wouldn't apply anyway. You can't meander with a trail that's deleted.
Well, I guess we have to vote to change the concept plan to take out the horse trail.
On the northern boundary.
On the northern boundary, it, yeah.
The memorandum addresses deleting the equestrian trail along the northern border. That's what we're here to discuss tonight and to vote on. Period.
Okay, and that would be a change to the concept plan.
That's why we drafted the ordinance and that way. That's right.
Do we need to specifically mention that item 4 comes out of the original concept plan? Because that's where it's addressed. It's in the package. I don't know what page it's on.
Councilman, if we delete that section tonight or move forward in deleting that section of trail, then it is no longer there for any meandering to take place. It is no longer there on the northern border for any additional trees to be cut. So by us moving forward and approving the first reading of this ordinance, we are taking the first step in doing what the residents
want
at the ridge of at Woodside Plantation. Mm-hmm. There's also my understanding that their concern is some trees somewhere along the line have been taken out, which leaves them with a unsightly view, and it's their desire that a buffer be put in there to block their view so that when they look over toward the ridge at Chugger Creek, they don't see the development going on and the missing trees. They see a nice berm planted with stuff that's going to make their view much more palatable.
And the owner has agreed to do that.
And that's what we are marching forward to agree to. But going back to the original ordinance back in 2006, what we're doing tonight is undoing that northern border, which is exactly on West Pleasant Colony, that they're wishing to get undone. We are undoing that section of trail. So there's no way in the world, unless the developer were to come back and ask to have that concept plan changed again to include the trail, could anything meander through that area. It's an undisturbed or planted buffer that has to be maintained.
That's right, and it's on page 132 of the agenda packet. And we have to be careful removing all of item 4 because you're going to affect all the boundaries if you do that. I think the initial sentence is what talks about.
Well, there's a number of constituents here that are all of ours. They want to talk about the horse trail, so we need to hear from them.
Sure.
Also.
Okay. But I just want to be clear because you mentioned about item 4. That is something the Planning Commission could take a look at with their review to see how that condition could be.
I think, Mr. Mayor, I probably said enough for the ones about the petition, but let's hear from the equestrian trail people, if you would please, next, because they are just as adamant about having it as the trees not being removed.
Right, and again, that particular trail has large rock riprap in it at this point.
Okay, now back, who would like to be first? Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh. Just give us your name when you come up, please, for the record. And we'll just keep going back that way, and then we'll come around and come down this way.
Do you want to hear a mixture of them, all of them,
absolutely,
the petition,
why
and then horse trail, or does it matter?
I think we ought to hear everybody that wants to speak on this subject.
Would it be possible to, I guess so, there I am. Thank you. Good evening. I'm Judy Miller, and I live at 103 East Pleasant Colony Drive. I return this evening, as I have done in June of this year, in January, and in February of 2006. I have also attended the Planning Commission hearings in 2006 regarding the ridge at Chucker Creek. I was asked in 2004 by the residents of East Pleasant Colony Drive to act as a community spokesperson with regard to this issue. Our concerns remain as they have been since 2006, and that is a buffer needs to be developed and maintained along the property line between the two areas. We are concerned that the developer has not been held accountable to the concept plan as accepted by the city in 2006 with regard to this buffer, and it has negatively impacted our street. I have raised concerns, asked questions, and we have patiently waited 6 years to have this issue resolved. In the process, we have seen substantial trees destroyed, minimal plantings die due to lack of appropriate irrigation, and we have seen little monitoring of the development from the onset by the city. I direct your attention to my comments to the City Council meeting in August 8th of 2011 on page 115 in your packet. In there, I delineate the history from the time that the first road was begun to be cut at the entrance to the development and subsequently what had happened from a historical perspective. I don't want to bore you with that again. That is in the public record. Last month on June 25th, I asked about the status of the buffer and the corrections that the developer would be held to. At that time, I was told of a performance bond that the city had required of the developer. The bond has a 2-year extension. I asked the city manager whether the buffer was included in that bond. I was told that it was, and then only to read in the packet that the council was given that evening, and I also was given, on page 96, which is of your packet, which is actually page 3 of the June 25th agenda, and I quote, it clearly stated, "There are no funds included for the landscaping in the buffer areas," unquote. This is an example of the mixed messages that we have received from the beginning of this process. We have, this time, petitioned the city, and we've been talking about the petition, to hold the developer accountable for the 25-foot buffer and the appropriate added plantings to provide the visual buffer called for in the original concept plan of 2006. Again, I draw your attention to the packet and the petition as presented, and I must say again that I am extraordinarily disappointed that the petition was misrepresented in the cover letter on page 81 in your agenda packet for this meeting. We've never petitioned to change a concept plan, and it is none of our business what is included in the concept plan. So I'm glad that that discussion came up, and I'm very sorry that that's what was presented to you, because obviously that is not what our petition said at all. As included in the packet that you have for tonight's meeting, we also noted pictures in the area. I would like to provide you with a view from across the street where I live. And do I just put this up? So this is across the street from where I am located. And you can see this area here is on the other side of the fence, and it's all weeds. These plantings here are what Woodside put in 6 years ago, and with appropriate irrigation that we've had to have them fix as they have become disabled. Again, that's a street view. This one is a few steps into that area. Again, it shows, in our opinion, the need for an appropriate planted buffer. This, on the other side of the fence, has nothing but weeds upgrowing, and you can see, and it makes no difference to me what people have in their backyards. That is their personal property. I am referring to the concept plan where initially the city accepted this plan, saying that there would be a buffer. So you can see construction material, tops of a truck, all of these things remain there permanently. Additionally, this is a picture from up the street. Again, across the street you see from 123 East Pleasant Colony Drive. This again shows that these plantings are what Woodside had put in, these large ones that have grown up on the other side. No buffer was included except The only thing I could see was this pine tree that grew. So these are what we are seeing from the street, and this is what we're hoping that the city will enforce the concept plan as noted initially to create the buffer. In conclusion, once again, we've asked for what we've asked for all along, a buffer with appropriate planting so as to provide the visual buffer with something of an evergreen nature so that the leaves don't drop during the fall and winter months, and again, the buffer is not maintained with appropriate irrigation to provide the visual buffer as was noted in the concept plan. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak before you again and ask if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller.
I have copies of the pictures that...
Could you just give those to the city clerk, Ms.
Okay.
Miller?
That'd thank be good. You.
We'll have that on the record then. There's a gentleman.
Yeah. Well, please, you write up, too. Give you write. Give me how you did that. Include that in there. Just give her
thank
that
you.
Put with the pictures.
I'll be busy writing.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Good evening. My name is Les Stahl. I'm also a resident of Woodside Plantation at 119 East Pleasant Colony Drive. First and foremost, I'd like to echo the comments of my esteemed colleague, Ms. Miller. She brought most of the salient points out as far as what we, you know, what the issue is. I'd like to stress just a couple things, if I could. One is, I think the benefit of this buffer is for both sides of the fence, not just Woodside, okay? Because I looked today along that, I walked along the fence line, and unfortunately from the windstorm the other night, one of the trees had fallen on the fence, and there were some other issues, but it's basically weeds and underbrush, so it's not attractive, I don't think, to either side, and it provides no blockage whatsoever. The second thing I'd like to stress is that I did hear in the discussion regarding the irrigation system, and I understand the plantings would go on in November, and I can appreciate that, but I haven't been a resident of South Carolina long, but if that water isn't there, nothing's going to grow anyway. And so not only the fact that we're going to repair that, I think there's got to be some type of an onus on the developer to ensure that the proper water gets to those plants so those trees can grow or those bushes can grow, whatever may be placed there. If that doesn't happen, then you know what's going to happen is in a year and a half, 2 years from now, we're going to be here again. And I don't think this is rocket science. This is a pretty simple fix. It really shouldn't be repeated over and over again. And I think if it's done right and done right the first time, excuse me, this time, then we won't be here again. The buffer will be there for the benefit of both sides of the fence, and this issue will come to a complete rest. Thank you again for the opportunity, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
I guess on behalf of the equestrian farms at Hollow Creek, which borders on Woodside off of Anderson Pond Road. We just found out about this ordinance a few days ago, and about a month ago we started researching Chucker Creek and Woodside Plantation and the trail system that was promised to residents. And I've noticed in all of the discussions here, first of all, that none of you seem concerned about the fact that that equestrian trail was promised, represented, contracted for, and agreed to in 2006. Your solution is to just get rid of the trail. I think the Woodside residents are saying that they would like to see a buffer, and I can tell you that we would like to see a buffer also with a horse trail. And I'd like to give you an overall perspective, if I can, of why that northern border is important. Besides the fact that it's been 5 years and the horse trail hasn't been built, that northern border goes into what is 5013C property in Woodside. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a chunk of land in the middle of Woodside owned by Hollow Creek Land Preservation LLC, which is controlled by Rick Steele. That property is supposed to have a horse trail around it. It's been represented to 2007 to all of the residents and to the equestrian farms at Hollow Creek. And if I may, I'll show you what I'm referring to. Give me a half a second. Is it just straight up like this? All right. This area, this is Anderson Pond Road, and this road here is the New Pony Trail. This is the 501c property that runs in the middle of the undeveloped area of Woodside. And it connects up or can connect up to that northern border boundary. We're in negotiation right now with Hollow Creek Land Preservation to have those trails put in. This is a 501c, is public land. It's held for the public benefit. It's not Woodside's land. It's not our land. It's held by a corporation for the public benefit. That land, by the way, has been chained off. That's why this is important to us, because that northern trail will connect up ultimately into the 501c trail. And I'll show you what was originally promised so you have some perspective. This was one of the original brochures that Woodside used in the marketing of Hollow Creek. And you can see the 501c territory. And it clearly marks the trail, continual around it, and it even cuts through Woodside, although we don't expect that to ever happen, and comes back around. But this, it also goes up what's now Pony Trail Road around the perimeter of Woodside, the undeveloped area, and comes back basically to Chocolate Creek. That's why this horse trail is important. The solution is not to eliminate the horse trail. The solution is to build a buffer and build the horse trail where it's supposed to be. That's why this is important. The second thing that is important is City Council, historically, in the last month that I've been investigating, has historically ignored the agreements that it's made with developers. For example, you made an agreement in 2007 as a condition of annexation that Rick Steele build a horse trail from the gate at Anderson Pond Road up to the village. That was never built, and when he refused to do it, the land was deeded by Woodside to the city of Aiken. That horse trail has never been built, although I have spoken to Larry Morris, who's sitting here, about putting that trail in. But when he refused to build it, you let him go. There was also an agreement for the installation of a left turn lane from Silver Bluff Road onto Anderson Pond. When that wasn't built, you entered into an agreement to pay $210 per lot sold in Woodside in the undeveloped area. In lieu of that, you've collected $22,000 to date. To put in a left turn lane would cost at least $250,000. So the integrity of the City Council is partly at stake here. I never heard a single one of you say that the horse trail was important or the people in the community were important that wanted horse trails throughout this community. I understand that Woodside is concerned about the appearance and a buffer, but you can have both a horse trail and a buffer. And if the developer failed to live up to his promises in the concept plan and his agreement, you need to enforce that agreement, not to let him off the hook and not to let everyone else off the hook. Make them put the buffer in and make them put the horse trail in. You're taking the easy way out. Thank you. Have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Carpenter.
Yes.
Mr. Monahan's property, is that under your 501c?
No, it's not. But it borders up to it.
And your
not my property.
No, I know. But your concern is that this trail should remain because the 501c is on one piece of property. And it should go through his piece of property as well. And his is not a 501c. I'm trying to understand.
The idea is to connect, well, his trails are public. But the idea is to connect all of the trails together. For example, we have a trail that meanders through the woods all around Hollow Creek. It will connect up ultimately to the City of Aiken Trail, hopefully, that will go from our trail, which is on Anderson Pond and the gate to Woodside, go up the border of Woodside, up to where the country club is, across where the golf driving range is, and into the village. And there's a horse trail that Mr. Steele had previously installed around the village.
And what if he thinks that it should go through Woodside as well?
If he convinced Mr. Steele to do that, that's fine. We'd love to travel through Woodside, but I don't think the residents would particularly care for that.
I don't understand. I'm looking at fairness here. You don't want it through Woodside, but you want it through his property.
No, I do want it through the 501c3 property.
Okay.
Where we were promised, where that map shows the representations made when Hollow Creek or the Equestrian Farms at Hollow Creek were sold to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
We do want all of those trails, except for the one that runs from the country club over to the cook-up on the 501c, because it can't physically be built anymore. And the reason it can't be built anymore is because no one has attempted to enforce any of these things, and the developers have developed, so it's impossible. The time is now to stop it before it's too late. So when you talk about a horse trail, the east and south part, do you get on your horse and just ride, turn around, ride back, ride, turn around? You have to have a linked-up system of trails throughout Aiken. That's what Aiken's about, horses and golf. And we understand and respect the residents of Woodside that they want buffers and they don't want us trekking through their golf courses. We respect that. And there are ways that we can work around it by the perimeter of Woodside in the 501c property, etc. And all those trails are linkable. And this trail, the Northern Trail, we'll link up the 501c property to the other two sections of Chucker Creek. And hopefully we'll be able to come across down Pony Trail Road and link back up into the whole system. And it'll be a great big loop of miles and miles and miles.
Okay, I'm trying to follow you on that. This trail that we're talking about, this northern trail, has on one side of it the ridge at Chucker Creek property, which is not a 501c3.
Right, that's a separate piece of property in the middle of the
side of this northern trail. It has Sidewood Developments property that is not a 501c3.
That's the old part of Woodside.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, so this northern trail has property owned by the ridge on one side and Woodside on the other.
Yes, sir.
Now, how is it going to link to a piece of property that's owned by 501c3?
Because that northern trail comes down and will hook up right into this area, right in here, and that's 501c property. All you need is this. You need it to be put in.
I'm not following you. The map that you showed us, and you showed us the area of the 501c3 property.
Right. The other map?
Maybe that was it.
Okay, that's it.
Okay. But it did not, I don't see how, unless that property, how could this trail system link to that? That's what I'm trying to gain an understanding of.
By putting a trail in? I don't follow you. You mean how does it physically?
Okay, the trail that goes around the southern, eastern, western boundaries of the ridge at Chucker Creek.
Right.
Does it in any shape, form, come in contact with that property of the 501?
I believe on top it does.
Alan, do we have a better map that can show the whole trail that you're talking about?
This the is Chucker
very,
Creek
I think
trail?
This is very hard to understand.
Okay.
This map. Is there another one that shows the whole thing?
Okay, when you say the whole thing, including this is Equinox Road right here.
Mm-hmm.
Equinox Loop.
Where's Chucker Creek here? Where's the ridge?
Equinox Loop is part of Chucker Creek.
The ridge.
Is it not?
I'm sorry, where's the ridge?
Ridge is up here.
Where is the part we're talking about, the relatively small, I think, part that we're talking about? the northern section.
The 501c property is this white line all the way over, comes back, comes up here, down around all of this, including Anderson Pond, back around here, and all the way up.
All right, where's the section we're talking about?
On this map, I'm not sure, but I know that Equinox is part of Chuckle Creek.
All right, it would be very helpful if we had a map that showed the whole thing that you're talking about.
Unfortunately, we all had one day notice, so.
Well, I know.
But it does hook up. And Chuckle Creek, ultimately, the land that's next to Chuckle Creek, I believe, goes down, that's owned by Mr. Moynihan, goes down into Pony Trail Road also, which is another way that we intend on hooking up, or hope that we will be able to hook up.
Okay, any other questions? I think we got your message.
Okay.
Thank you. So,
there are other people in the community that, because the conversation I heard was Woodside, and the developer. But there are other people that relied upon the representations made of the developer and what the council did, what the city council did. And we've relied on that. We've invested into it. We've put in time, effort, money, everything else. And we have a right to rely on it and not to have council just let everyone off the hook because they dug ditches or took out trees. Let them plant it back.
Thank you, sir.
Robin Thomas. I live at Chuckle Creek. My property borders the easement for the buffer. My concern is not with the horse trails. I'm not an equestrian rider, so I'm like this with it. It doesn't matter to me. One of the questions I have is that I heard is that this is public land. Is that true? Is this public land? Mm-hmm. So no, it is not public land. It's private land. So for a subdivision to come in and say that you have to do something to private land where city council has already kind of just nixed it seems a bit arbitrary to me. Especially after all that's gone on. This has got to be 6 months now that I've been dealing with this. I've been at Chuckle or the Ridge for a year. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with Woodside that we do need a buffer zone. But I don't agree with your methods of getting it. I can't believe that you would want just stuff thrown at it. I believe there's got to be some organization. As we've already seen, Ron has spent thousands of dollars putting bushes up this trail that are all but dead. And trees up the trail that are all but dead. In my backyard, which is next door to one of the pictures, a tree did fall from the storm and took out probably half a dozen saplings. Now this tree is an old scrub oak that really just came up from the roots. Probably rotted. It's been there for years, never taken care of. I have a problem with the no-touch zone. On one hand, I hear people saying that we need to take care of it. On the other hand, I hear, don't touch it. You can't have it both ways. It needs to be taken care of. Right now, back there are weeds. There are vines growing up the trees. Anything you plant there is going to be killed, not so much by the irrigation, but by all the other elements that are in that 25 feet. And I'm not. I agree totally with you. I really do. That I would like to see a nice buffer zone there, that's fully developed, that's thick, that's. And you know what? It's not that I don't like looking at your neighborhood, but that's my backyard. And that's my privacy. I don't like fences, but I do like vegetation. I love the look back there. And I want it to be done right. I don't want money thrown at something that's just going to die. I really don't. I want some real honest planning to take care of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everybody wants. And so, and I represent one person. I've talked to my neighbors.
Yeah.
I kind of get the same feeling that they feel the same way. We all want it done the right way. We all want the buffer. We all like the trees. I think that more trees are better. But I don't want to take the risk of throwing money at something that can never be satisfied. That doesn't make a lot of sense. I just want all the concerned parties to really think about what we're saying. For example, one of the pictures showed one of my neighbors down the road, but there's a power line right there. I don't know how much buffer that there is back there for the power lines. I don't know that Ron even has control over that area as to what gets planted there. Woodside may have to develop their side of the fence in order to block that. That's all I can say as far as that. The city and the state, that's their property. That's not Ron's property. But I would like to say that this issue has gone on way too long. I think we all agree with it. I think we need a resolution. Don't care about the horse trail. As far as I'm concerned, you can get rid of it. Sorry, I'm not an equestrian, but I'd be honest with you, I don't want people riding in my backyard. Thank you.
Give me your name again.
Robin Thomas.
Okay.
Robin. Thank you, sir.
I am Carol Haggerty. I live at 137 East Pleasant Colony. And all I'd like to say is I have agreed with every word that's been said by every citizen that has stood up here. We all are in agreement. Let's be neighbors. Let's get this job done. And let's get it done right. We have been dealing with this for 6 years. Not 1 year, not 6 months. But from the day that a sign said post it on one of the trees, we have come here in good faith saying, let's get a solution that is benefiting both sides. We want our neighbors on Hollow Creek to be happy, and we in Woodside want to be happy. We don't want this disagreement. So let's get it done.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Phil Haggerty. I'm also a resident of 137 East Pleasant Colony, right across from the right across. The first thing I'd like to show, since it's all fresh in our minds, is this document again. One of the things that I feel strongly about is the fact that the developer has constantly ignored every ruling of the City Council. They've ignored every promise they've made. They've ignored many promises they've made. And they just built ahead. And for 6 years now, the city council and the city manager and the city staff have never, ever bothered to follow up. And if they followed up, they didn't pay a bit of attention. And that's disgraceful. Pardon my language. The developer is ignored. You see this area here? By the way, the horse trail we're talking about runs right along where I'm running my pencil now. It connects trails on this side with trails on this side. Okay? And when the city council approved the development, they approved it with the horse trail, because the horse trail was an integral part of not only the development, but the city planning as far as horse trails are concerned. You might take a look here.
I'm sorry, sir. You've turned it off. Stuart, could you get it?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Beanbow will help you, sir.
Thank you. You took it off my hand. I forgot. There, I just flipped it on.
And Stuart, can we turn that light off on the spin? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I'll watch. Okay, that's better.
You might want this one. It's a little clearer.
Okay.
Don't worry about zooming in. It's fine. Thank you.
This one shows a little bit better. Here's the horse trail in consideration. It runs up here and then across through the deed of the area and into horse trails over here. Okay? So it adds contiguous to the city. What I wanted to mark out also is the developers ignoring the rules on his promises. This, by the way, is a totally treed area, by the way, which was clear cut, stripped out, every tree taken out. Every house that's been built has had every single tree taken out. There was supposed to be an architectural review board that were going to save every tree over 4 inches. I thought I deviated for a second, please forgive me. Concept plan, I'm going to review just for a second. It says a 50-foot wide equestrian trail and vegetative buffer on the east, north, and west parameters to protect the existing trees and vegetation. Dated January 18th. Then there was a ordinance that said, I'm just using the view graph, there will be a 50-foot deep visual buffer along the perimeter of the northern boundary consisting of a 25-foot horse trail and a 25-foot deep undisturbed vegetative buffer. It's and. It's not the buffer merges with the trail. It's two independent pieces of property as shown on the concept plan. The equestrian trails may intersect the undisturbed buffer to protect the existing trees and vegetation. Well, the reason that's there is if you've got a 14-year, if you've got a 100-year-old oak tree, you don't want to cut it down, you want to go around it. So that's why that statement is there. It's not to make them merge the trails at all. It says for existing trees and vegetation. On June 14th, 2011, Mr. Monahan was asked to respond to the gaps in that vegetation buffer along the northern boundary. And it again talks about the 50-foot deep equestrian buffer, equestrian trail. It doesn't talk about merging documents, it talks about two pieces of property. This is July 14th, 2011. In a memo dated May 13, 2011, it says the wording is not clear. It does not say where the horse trail and the vegetative buffer are in relation to each other. Baloney. It makes clear the riding path can be within the vegetative buffer as long as a total of 50 feet of buffer is maintained. We know where they are in relation to each other because that's on the concept plan, that's in all the plans. There's a strip that's 25 feet wide that says buffer. There's a strip that's 25 feet wide that says trail. They can meander between to dodge a big tree. But there's nothing anywhere that says that the 50-foot buffer is removed. And this is 5/13 last year. Now, apparently the builder did a whole lot of things that he wasn't supposed to do. We all know that. We don't know why he did it or how he did it or who gave him authority to do it. But the city manager and the city employees state very succinctly, the changes to the concept plan for the ridge were not significant enough to warrant city council approval, and the city manager agreed with this assessment. None of the changes involved the conditions placed on the annexation by the city council, most likely number 4. So the city manager and the city planner had authority to make changes, but they said here that they did not have authority to make any changes to the buffer or the equestrian trail. August 11th. These are things like, this was out of last year's minutes. I'm sure the documents are duplicated in here somewhere. It took me a long time to pull this stuff together. City Council, Richard Pierce. Deviations were approved, include gaps, equestrian trail now filled with large brick wrap and slopes. They weren't approved. Who approved them? The City Council? The city manager has already said that he didn't have authority to approve it. If somebody approved it, it says right here. Unless I'm wrong. Planning Commission memo, August on concept plan, 8th of August 2011. Again, minimum depth of 50 feet. There is two trails. There's not one trail. There's not two merged trails. There are two separate trails, one of which may meander into the other for a short distance to dodge the 100-year oak tree. But we don't know whether there's a 100-year oak tree there because they tore them all down. They're all gone. They stripped it clean. Oh, by the way, I just noticed this. I got a negative image somehow. We want to stay positive here, right? The tree preservation provisions in the zoning ordinance have not been complied with because everything over 4 inches was never going to be cut down, and nothing was going to be clear cut. And the picture I showed you in the beginning showed the whole damned area being clear cut. The developer totally ignored all of his promises to the city consistently. Today I read with some amusement the section about the buffer in Woodside. I don't need this anymore. I'm on the Property Owners Association of Woodside. I'm on the Architectural Review Board. I do landscaping approvals. In our landscaping approvals, wherever there is a buffer between the back of the property line and the Woodside fence line, we encourage the owner to take ownership of that, plant it, make it look nice, and keep it up to date. We encourage this. So there's a section here that talks about a lot of stuff being planted on the Woodside side. Well, when I approve an architectural, when I approve a landscape plan for a house, for preliminary, I make sure they've landscaped all the way back to the fence. When I go in for final approval, I don't give final approval until it is all landscaped all the way back to the fence. So this deal about we're planning on a buffer is baloney, because that's common area, which is controlled by and is owned by the POA. I'm part of the POA. The POA encourages people to build in those areas. So I was quite surprised when I discovered that a whole bunch of pictures of nice landscaping and a supposed 25-foot buffer, because we tell the people to do that. Again, that is council, as part of the council authorization for the zoning. It is not done prior to the certificate of occupancy. The certificate of occupancy, we say you've got to have your landscaping done within 3 months. So that has nothing to do with the certificate of occupancy. And that has nothing to do with any approval that you can't do anything back there. We tell people to do it. I was surprised to see that. I sort of smiled. Can I answer any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haggerty.
Good evening. I'm Larry Byers. I live at 2226 Hillsdale, but in 2006 I lived at the very end of Chucker Creek Road, which is the entrance to the ridge as we know it today. And I can't say that I couldn't agree more with everyone here from Woodside concerning the buffer and what we wanted to do. When we initially put this together, it wasn't just the 25-foot buffer to shield the trail. The 25-foot buffer also shielded the trail from the Woodside. So the 50 feet became a safety factor for riders as well as a buffer for the people who lived in Woodside. So the 50 feet was really the whole consideration of the trail that was built. And I think with the meandering has been discussed. The other thing was the 25 feet for the horse trail was not planned to be a boulevard of completely devoid of any vegetation and paved over with some sort of horse-friendly surface. It was merely to be kept in a fairly natural state with the trail meandering through. So the 50 feet was really to the benefit of the residents of Woodside as well as to the users of the horse trail. And I think today when we talk about a horse trail, we sometimes lose sight of what that trail really is. That trail is not for equine use only, especially when it's in an area like the ridge. It's also a very nice place to walk. It's a very nice place to spend some time with yourself. It's a nice place to take your dog. It's a nice place to take your grandchild and maybe see a bird in natural habitat or a fox squirrel darting from tree to tree. So it's more than just an equine use facility. It's a place where people can go and enjoy some of the things that make Aiken what it really is. And I guess when I talk about the equine community, I pound this nail so many times. The equine community brings in over $75 million a year to the Aiken area. Most of those people come here and have left Florida and other places because there was a healthy attitude and a concept of municipalities and governments being considerate, understanding, and friendly toward the equine community, realizing the economic impact that it has. And I think in a situation where we would cavalierly abandon an already planned and dedicated trail denotes an attitude somewhat bordering on indifference to that economic impact. And I would just hope that this is not the first domino that would fall in an equine-friendly community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Jim Hartsook. I don't live in either community, Woodside or Chucker Creek. We just moved here less than a year ago from Florida. But I wanted to comment from a different perspective because what brought us here was the equine community. That's what brought us here. We actually looked at Chucker Creek and we were promised that those trails were going to be there. So had we come based upon the realtors we talked to, there in your center, they told us they were trying to get us because we were considering it. We like Chucker Creek. And if you allow these developers to walk away from these commitments, if we had bought in Chucker Creek, I'd be up here probably yelling right now rather than just presenting it from a new person to Aiken's point of view. The reason we came tonight was because we heard that some of the horse trails are at stake. And I agree. We walk my brother-in-law and sister out on the trails because they love nature. They look at the birds. I walk the dog because I'm not a rider, but my wife is. I run the horse trails. And I think if you start allowing the developers to walk away from what they've put in their development plans and their marketing to people who are looking to come here, I think it's going to hurt the Aiken community. And I think you have a good place to take a stand now, even in the areas, and I, when I heard about the areas that the city had committed to, that they haven't followed through on in developing. I think you're going to hurt the economic place that Aiken has really grown to if you allow the developers and if the city doesn't follow through on some of these commitments that have been made, especially when they're still marketing it to people that are coming in that these trails are going to be there, and then they're in front of you all saying they want to do away with it. So I wanted to comment from that perspective, because I say, we just moved here less than a year ago.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Jenny Stoker, Kershaw Street. I don't live in either of those areas, but I've came to a lot of these meetings starting in 2006. I haven't been more recently because I've been too busy. And Dacre is out of town, or he would be here. So he asked me to come and remind you of the discussion in 2006 about the undisturbed buffer and the confusion that was during that discussion And afterwards, who, and I'm sorry, Mr. LeDuc is not here as well, because he's the one who said that he would ask the planning staff to work with the horticulturist to prepare a formal definition in the zoning manual which describes what an undisturbed buffer would mean and how to manage it, with the goal being a visual barrier. So I have no idea if that was ever done, but if it was, then a lot of this discussion wouldn't, you know, we could just say, okay, here's what it is, and that's that. I think it's a very good point that, you know, if we agreed to a 50-foot total buffer, we don't need to say, okay, well, then let's just not have 25, we'll take away the horse trail and only leave 25. I would imagine that the people from Woodside, if they thought about the math, would rather have a 50-foot buffer instead of a 25-foot buffer. I don't even know how wide this room is, but, you know, 50 feet is, that's pretty big. You know, why not leave it, especially if that's what has been agreed to. And if you listen to the accents of the people in this room, I'm from South Carolina, but not many of these people are. They've come here from all these other places, and a lot of them come with their horses because of these promised trails, because of Mr. Cunning coming in here and talking about his trails. And, you know, it would be kind of bad to invite them to the party and then tell them, you know, the party's changed. They don't, you know. So I hope that you will hold him to the 50-foot buffer on that north side. There's no reason to undo it that I can see. Thank you.
Ms. Stoker, there is a plan in a package here.
Yeah.
Mr. Rapp's been involved, of course. And I think the problem is that perhaps much of it hasn't been planted. And the other thing is some of it planted has died. I'm speculating now. I think probably that's what's happened on what has been put in. I'm not saying it all has been put in. But there is a plan.
And
which anyone is welcome to see.
And the definition is there?
Page 98.
Not the definition, but the actual planting.
It shows plantings and what's to be where.
Can we pull that up? This right out page 98 in the agenda.
But is it, just out of curiosity, is that has the undisturbed buffer so that the developer would know what he's agreeing to. There's a lot of discussion in the 2006 minutes.
It has been. What's on page 98 is the actual exhibit that shows all the plannings that the developer has put in.
Right.
And they're on the approved plannings list in the zone.
I did look at all that on the internet, but I didn't have enough ink to print it all out. So
I don't know how much you can read on it, but especially.
See, is that page 98, Ms. Rydell?
No. Sarah, there's another. Oh, are you looking for the other page?
Well, that's what we had up before, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jenny.
That's it.
I don't think there's any way you can read it from there, but
she can zoom in.
It's there. And
there it is.
Mr. Rapp, the horticulturist, has been involved, of course, in that, and others also. Oh, okay. Is anyone else that would like to speak?
That's great, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dick Barron. I live at 127 East Pleasant Colony Drive. A couple of things listening to this that come to mind. One, we keep flip-flopping. Are we talking 50? The buffer was 50 feet of undisturbed. 25 of that would be used by horses, and 25 would be unused. It still is a buffer, and it's still a buffer to me means mature plantings. Looking at that and also walking up and down the street, there are very voids where it's been cleared, so there are no trees. There's open space, there are shrubs, there are plants that have died. Somebody said that without water, it's very hard to grow anything, whether you're in South Carolina or New York. Same thing happens. When buffering goes in after it was taken out, and there's no other option other than replanting, when you strip the trees and you strip the land, you got to put it back in. You got to put water to keep it healthy. You know, we all water our lawns, and my plants haven't died because I water them. So you can plant. There are other plants that grow quickly. There are the Leland cypress, which is a beautiful plant and a beautiful buffer. And I think you heard both Woodside as well as the other side in Checker Creek saying they both want barriers. You know, what we're talking about is what this community wants. The community, not just being Woodside, but all of us. Mm-hmm. And I see that the thing that we're talking about here is an amendment to eliminate part of what was a buffer. And to be honest, I don't understand that. Concept plan said that you had a buffer of 50 feet. Why would we want to eliminate it?
Mr. Barron, if I could, just to help clarify, there's no elimination of the buffer space. It's just that the portion that was going to be an equestrian trail, that would be deleted. But now it's the runoff with all the large riprap in it.
There's no plantings, there's no tree. Mm-hmm. It's not a buffer.
Well, it's not anything that's going to be
unless you have a big rock. Probably.
Well, it's full of rock right now.
Well,
yes.
When we're talking about buffer, as I said before, the definition I grew up is a buffer area is plantings so that you don't have the view right next to you. And that's what I would consider a buffered area. And I think that's probably what the original plan considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Bob Miller. I was going to be brief and save my notes, but I have to make a few additions after the things that have happened here. Why I've been tonight has been very interesting. 6 years ago, it was agreed that a buffer was required. And at that time, Dakin Stoker, Mrs. Stoker, who just now, the first time that I knew who she was the expert in the field and offered his expertise. Now, there are a number of different things here. Is that it's been 6 years, and we're finding that now Mr. Monahan has been given 2 more years to take care of this buffer, and I'm rather decided that a lot of people don't know what a buffer is, really, and it may be different things. But I do know that plants require 3 things to grow, possibly even 4 you can add. 1 is water. 2 is sunlight. And 3 is they need some time to grow. And what I found that I keep looking at what's supposed to be a buffer, like what's across the road from us, and it's something that I would plow up and do anything with rather than to have around my house. And it has to me that may be an open space, but it certainly isn't what I'd call a buffer that any of us would probably care much about having alongside our house. I'm here because I think that it's extremely important that Mr. Monahan be held to his commitment and have a plan for the buffer that includes appropriate plantings, water resources, and a position where they can receive some sunlight. And you may have to, as someone already mentioned, we have these little wire plants that come and wrap themselves around and choke off all the different shrubs that you put in. And it, shrubs and everything need some care. You can't just, and we saw that happen across the fence from us, you can't just plug in that plant and assume they're going to grow up and be beautiful and everything will be fine. And lastly, I really was impressed with what the equestrian people were saying and their concern, and I very much would like to see them involved and have that opportunity. The last part is that I hope that the residents, especially the equestrian people as well, and the residents of East Pleasant Colony and Equinox Loop could work together to make this all successful and make it a community type of affair rather than a frustration that's alongside us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Are there any other citizens that want to speak? I know we'll hear from the developers. Okay, Mr. Monahan, hand, would you like to speak? Bud? Okay, Buzz.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Buzz Rich. I represent Mr. Monahan. I've represented him for years, but frankly, this issue just came to my attention on Friday. I was asked to attend a meeting at the city manager's office with the city manager, the director of public works, and Mr. Evans, a planning director. And at that meeting, it was made clear to me that the city had no major issues with Mr. Monahan. That Mr. Monahan actually, and I think there's been a little bit of misconception here in terms of the removal of the equestrian trail, which is really the issue before council tonight, that was not initiated by Mr. Monahan. I'm not quite clear where it came from, whether it was from council or from city. I think Mr. Pierce actually called Mr. Monahan a week or two ago and suggested that, and Mr. Monahan wants to be a good neighbor with Woodside and with all of his other neighbors, and he agreed to do that, but it was not his initiation. And frankly, I kind of feel like, you know, we don't have a dog in this fight as far as the removal of it is concerned. The concept of Chucker Creek was originally largely an equestrian community, as has been pointed out, but that concept has largely changed through the years. And as one of the residents already mentioned, he didn't care, and Mr. Monahan's impression is that most of the residents in the ridge don't care. The other thing that was talked about was connecting this to the Woodside. I believe this is a private development, and I don't know that Mr. Monahan actually has the power, even if he wanted to make this a connecting thing with Woodside. So that's one misconception. So, you know, if he is perfectly willing to leave it as it is, we leave it in there. We didn't ask for it to be withdrawn. We will leave it in there, and he will continue with the original concept exactly the way it is, if that's the desire of council. The other issue is in terms of, it seems to me there's two issues. That's one. The other issue is the buffering, which we've heard a lot about tonight. And I'd like to point out a couple of things. In Mr. Pierce's memo to City Council of June 9th, it states, to date, it's June 25th, 2012 council meeting. I provide a memo of all action items staff has completed with the developer of the ridge. To date, the developer has complied with all requests from staff. Mr. Pierce's also his memorandum to council of June 25th. Our follow-up has shown that the developer, as he told you when he last appeared before you, is still intent on following the concept plan. The next phase of this development is underway, and the developer has complied with all requests city staff has made so far. And finally, Stuart, perhaps you can help me put this up. I mean, lawyers are all technologically impaired. This is a memorandum. How do I do this? This is a memorandum to Richard Pierce from Ed Evans and Larry Marsh, the Director of Engineering and Utilities. Does that work?
We have to wait just a minute. It'll come in. There you go. You're up. You need to cut that light on.
I don't know if you can read this or not.
He's got a light he can cut on. That'll help him.
It's not just lawyers that have trouble with this.
It's doing a split screen or something.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go.
You may have to just read it, Buzz. You may have to just read it.
Okay. This may be as good as it gets, but let me just point out a couple things on it. This was done June 25th, and it came from Ed Evans and Larry Morris. In the middle of those lines along the side are mine. It details the plantings that Mr. Monahan put in at the request of Tom Rapp and the city. 97 ligustrums, 96 pines, 6 magnolias. City horticulturist Tom Rapp estimates the cost of these plantings is $8,000 wholesale, $16,000 retail, and labor cost is about $5,000. All of those things were done at Mr. Monahan's expense at the request of the city. And then at the bottom, and I think this is important, and I'll read this because I know it's hard to read. The wording of the condition imposed by City Council does not state or imply that the vegetation to be added as determined by the planning director was to create a completely impenetrable evergreen buffer which would prevent someone within Woodside Plantation from seeing anything in the ridge. Our interpretation of the condition is that there be additional plantings where there were gaps. Prior to the installation of the plantings listed above done by the developer, the vegetation in the vast majority of the buffer was substantially more than satisfactory with only a few gaps to be filled. So frankly, I'm puzzled. What I'm hearing from the city staff is that Mr. Monahan has done everything that he was supposed to do. In fact, at our meeting Friday, someone made the comment that this is one of the better developments in the city and that the developer had done everything and had gone beyond what had been expected of him. So I don't understand the comments and the confusion about what he's done and what hasn't done. So again, to sum it up, I think he's done everything he's been at. Some of the things that have died, he's agreed to replace those. I think October's when the city horticulturist recommended they be replaced. He is going to do that, and he will continue to follow the recommendations of the city horticulturist and the plan commission as directed by the original concept plan. In terms of the equestrian trail, as I say, we don't have a dog in this fight. My understanding was that it was being removed at the request of the citizens of Woodside. If that's not the case, if they want it left, then let's withdraw it.
But Buzz, I'd like to make a comment. I think you can do everything that you say you're going to do, and it looks lovely for a while. But as it's been said before, and I have the same problem in my yard, if you don't water it, then it's going to die. And all of these things that have been planted, good intentions, I don't understand why then we have all these dead things around, unless it just hadn't been taken care of the proper way. Now I've got a couple of things that died in my yard. I didn't take care of the proper way, but that to me is a major deal. It sounds like, and I've read this too, that Ms. Monahan has gone a long way, but in putting things in, but then what happens? If they die, it's almost like, well, you got to do it again. It's not there. The buffer is not there. You may have put it in once, but it's not there now. It's died because of whatever reason.
So I think that's the dog in the fight, too. That's one of the concerns that we've been hearing here for the last almost 2 hours. And perhaps there's got to be more put in. I think we've got to go back and look. Furthermore, let me say this. There's been a lot of, I think there's been some criticism, and it's probably warranted, about council and the trails. But I will say this. I don't think most of council knew about some of these trails. Most of our council, and a lot of our council, has been here for 30, 40, 50 years. And Aiken, we know very well how important the equestrian community is to us. Some of us have been part of it. So we know that. I personally am not in favor of doing away with that north side equestrian piece at all. I think it ought to continue wherever it goes. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know what the legal ramifications are about connecting it with other parts. But even the developer has said, hey, he doesn't really want to take it out. So I don't know why we should take it out. What concerns me a little bit is when we say the 50-foot buffer needs to be buffered the whole 50 feet, is that if you've got a horse trail, certainly you're not going to put bushes or whatever in certain places that the horses are going to trample down. So I think that's got to be taken into consideration also. How much buffer do you really put in that piece, that 25 feet, of the 50 feet piece, you know? I don't think you put it all in the same degree of density, necessarily. These are my personal opinions. But I think we need to work. We need to live up to the contracts that we've had. And I'm anxious to hear from Mr. Monahan. He's been a friend of mine for some years now, ever since he came to Aiken. And find out, okay, what Mr. Monahan, what are you going to do? How are we going to get back to where we should be? And that's in my opinion. Thank you.
I have a question for Mr. Rich, if it's okay.
Okay, certainly.
Whoever.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you've walked out there to see the physical location of it, but this came about, as I previously stated, and forgive Big, the audience, long time sitting there in the council. For some reason, all along, the equestrian trail has been trying to be removed for one reason or another. And I did a timeline, which I've got, I can show as a example tonight. For some reason, in the original design, and I don't know if there's agreement with whoever or whatever, but the design that was submitted by the developer on September of 2006, which was after the approval, the equestrian trail disappeared, and it showed a ditch on the drawing. That's a fact. I've got the drawings right here. They're stamped by the city, stamped by a registered engineer in South Carolina. Then as we went along over the years, then the ditch was approved, everything was approved by the city, and then obviously, as the city procedure is, and which in many other cities is the same, there was an as-built drawing made. And the as-built drawing does not have the equestrian trail on it. It has a ditch on it. So, for some reason along the way, the equestrian trail was never intended to be there. And I'll look between the city and the developer to figure out how that happened. But the drawings show that it was not intended to be there. I go out in the corporate world, if I have an agreement with a contractor, which I say the city is an owner and the developer is a contractor, the contract was to have an equestrian trail. But if it's not submitted as an equestrian trail in the commercial world, that becomes a problem because you didn't follow the scope of work. And I think there's one of the things here, and Mr. Mayor is right, we need to look at what happened along the way. The second thing is physically, and this is why I think Mr. Evans made the ruling he did, and this is my opinion why he made it, you can't physically go put in the trail in that 25-foot area without going over into the undisturbed area unless you build some real high walls along there. and I think that's that's something that people need to look at. I know Mr. Morris has been out there, Mr. Evans, the city attorney, and Mr. Pierce, I've been several times. So there may be some way to get the trail in without the disturbing the unbuffered area. And I think that needs to be looked at. You know, my opinion is one opinion, but I think a physical appearance out there makes a world of difference where it's going to be. So I think that's something we need to consider. You know, can it be physically be done? The answer is yes. It just takes a lot of coins to put it back in. But there's some history behind this that I think is important, too. You know, why did it happen in the first place? And that's just the engineering coming out of it for building construction stuff for all of my career. So there's an issue here that I think it would be wise maybe that you become familiar with why the trail is not there in the first place. And the discussion of the buffer, I'll have to agree, is fuzzy. You know, there's some fuzzy logic there. But that would be my thing that I think that both parties need to go out and look and see why the trail's not there. Then can you really put it in? Well, that would be my request to do. Maybe we need to continue this and let Planning Commission have another public hearing on it.
Well, we may well want to do that. I kind of agree with that. But I think what's important now is what is in the concept plan. It's in the concept plan, right?
It is.
Okay.
The equestrian trail is.
I mean, all the history is important, but what's on the table is what's in the contract, the concept plan, and are we abiding by the concept plan? That's what it is to me.
Yeah. And if the developer does not want to go forward with removal of the equestrian trail, then you go back to the existing concept plan. There's nothing for Planning Commission to review. It'll be a matter of enforcing the concept plan that's on record.
And that's where I'm going with my comment. The purpose of our meeting tonight was to discuss the equestrian trail. That's off the table right now, because what you're saying is that you're agreeing to leave that trail where it is. So I'm not sure what we're discussing here at this point. You've also agreed to plant that vegetation. The citizens are asking that we monitor that very carefully and have, I think, Mr. Robin Thomas, where is Mr. Thomas here? He had some, his planning, his old comment about planning it in a very concise way so that we know what's planted there, and we'll monitor that. I think if we can assure the citizens of that, that will ease their comfort level, knowing that it's being monitored, but we just can't just go out and plant and let it go. It's almost like raising a child and saying, go on your own after the birth. That you can't do that. You've got to monitor what's being done there. But at this point, I'm not sure where we go from here, because it appears that...
Mr. Mayor?
Well... yes, Steve.
The question I have is, what would be the ideal solution to this whole question? We're talking about possibly amending the concept plan, if that is really necessary. I'm not a horse person, but I've been out there and taken a look, and assuming the first 25 feet adjoining the Woodside plantation side would have enough dense vegetation to block the view, then the other 25 foot would be available for the equestrian trail. But like I say, I'm not a rider, but I'd sure hate to get on anything and come down some of those slopes. I mean, some of those slopes are extremely steep, and I don't know, maybe a horse person can explain how you would ride there, but I don't know what the developer could do to actually make it a horse trail. And right now there's a ditch, and for the ditch to be turned into a horse trail, a tremendous amount of dirt or something would have to be put in there to kind of, you know, level it off.
The ditch is full of large...
Well, it's full of large rocks, yeah. So
it's a safety concern for the horses and for the person that's riding the horse.
Well, yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, in a perfect world, what would be the solution? Removing the horse trail is not a solution by itself, but not removing the horse trail and then trying to modify the ground to make it available as a horse trail is another problem. So, I don't know. Somehow or another, you know, I just don't know what we're...
Yeah. Use it as a walking...
Why don't we hear from Mr. Monahan, if he'd like to speak.
Mayor, member of council, I'm Ron Monahan, the developer of the Ridgechucker Creek. A lot of misinformation and a lot of accusations flying around tonight, most of them at me. And it's very hard to try to do the right thing. And as my attorney, Buzz Rich, has quoted from the memos, you know, the city has inspected me, and I've always done everything that's necessary and gone beyond. And that's a fact. That's in writing. I have a group of neighbors to the north who are very involved, and they have, you know, the ear of their councilman, who they're his constituents. And I've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Several times.
And we're here again, and I'm sorry to keep everybody up and everybody here. I'd rather not be here talking about this. Only a week ago, it you know, came to me that perhaps we could solve an issue and not be brought back here again and again if this trail perhaps got closed down as a question trail and kept as a buffer. And I don't want to be in front of this council anymore. I just want to do my business, which is successful now. It's helping Aiken. It's helping all of us. I know I have some angry neighbors to the north, and they have some, you know, influence as a group, and as they should, but it's misguided. I won't take up too much time. I don't know where to start, but aerial photographs will prove. When I first disturbed dirt about 5 years ago, we put our first section of silt fence up 25 feet along the Woodside border. And I'm redundant, Ron. I can't tell you how many times I told every machine operator, don't even step over that silt fence. So this first 25-foot buffer with Woodside, there's gaps in it, which direction of planting, I've filled those just this last round. I didn't create those gaps. That's a natural buffer as it was when I bought the property, which, by the way, I bought from the timber company because it was timbered. Okay, so it wasn't a pristine forest. I wish it was. And that's another story. We have some land we've preserved, the Freeman Preserve, which there'll never be any building there. But the 25-foot buffer has never been disturbed. Mrs. Miller took a great photo from the front of her house. I know it exactly. And she's taking a photo of a 75-foot Santee Cooper transmission line right away. They just recently, this summer, came in and cleared. Woodside had planted some magnolias, and the company, the Santee Cooper, cut them down as well. I have no control over that. I see the photo. I sympathize. That's the way it is. There's nothing I can physically do. You know, a picture's a thousand words, but it really makes me look bad. The last round of trees, bushes we planted, the ligustrum, thank you, I was thinking of the number now. Tom Rapp suggested that hardy species. We talk a lot about irrigation. You know, the we chose them. They cost more than other alternatives. It cost me $14,600 for that round of planting those trees. We put them in there in the right time of year, hoping they would thrive. It's been an unusually hot summer. It's been brutal. Some of them failed. I'll replace them. It's not put them in and walk away from it and leave dead bushes. Okay. They were chosen for their hardiness. My intent from day one, we're a very green community. Woodside is beautiful. It looks like the Garden of Eden. And it's highly maintained, highly irrigated, highly fertilized, open spaces and common grounds. That's not the Ridgechucker Creek. It's natural. It's trails. It's natural trees. It's natural wood. I don't want to create that in that buffer and pay to maintain it with water, pay for fertilizers to put into the groundwater. It's not what we're about. So I'll pay more to put the right plants in there. Some of them failed. I don't know what percentage it is. Whatever it is, we'll get them right. When they get established, it'll be okay. But that buffer, I'm afraid where this is going, as the city memo says, I am not supposed to block the view of the ridge, which I think is a very nice view, by the way. But I look over at you, and I think looking at the ridge, we're a very attractive community. I don't think it's that bad to see through some of the buffer. But Phil stood up, and he told me he's on the architectural landscape review board, and he approves them building in their open space right up to the fence. And my point is, they don't have much, if any, of a buffer. And I'm required to have what I'm required to have, and I'm okay with that. But on the landscape review, I wonder where the satellite dish fits in with the natural plantings. But that's an aside. It's a cheap shot by me, and I'm sorry. But I'm trying everything I can, and I'll agree if it stops bringing me before this council, if that means eliminating an equestrian trail on one section of this property, I'll agree to do that. I'm happy to put it in. And it's going to be difficult for me to put it in because we had a severe erosion issue and the engineers had me put big rocks in there to stop that erosion, which I had to because it was affecting my homeowners. And that cost $18,000 the day I did that. And we did it within a couple of days of the incident. Someday, if I have to build a horse trail on it, I will. And yes, it will be expensive and maybe there'll be a lot of dirt brought in. I do not know. You know, the concept plan was 6 years ago. The land's teaching me, but I'm not trying to get away with anything or cut any corners, and I'll do whatever council asks me to do.
From a safety perspective, of the horse and the individual as well, is it going to be safe to do what you...
Not today, but it's not open as a trail today.
Right.
And my understanding is I don't plan to open it in 2012. I maybe won't open it in 2013. It would be a trail to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't developed the rest of the property, so it's not even on my radar to plan to build this trail. And it's become up, and it's come up, and I've been hammered on it. And it's something that it's not even in my business plan to even address this trail yet. I will build it.
Go back to what was stated in the design of the property. Was it originally a ditch, or was it originally a plant?
Sure. As Councilman pointed out, he's an engineering background. He was looking at an as-built. That's an engineer's perspective of, you know, the landscape architect and the design team put the trail on it. It was just it's just an engineering drawing. It doesn't show the horse trail. It didn't get eliminated. It just doesn't show in that type of drawing. They didn't put it on there. That's all it was. It wasn't. It's not on this one drawing. It's disappeared. You know, poof. You're misinterpreting. You know what that.
Because the construction drawings, I did not misinterpret. I mean, it's got the symbol on there for a ditch, which is a little carrot, upside down carrot, and I've confirmed that with Mr. Morris. So, for some reason, it disappeared on the design drawings within the 50 foot.
I couldn't tell you exactly where that trail is going in that 25 feet today. It'll be when we get to do that. But I've been before council twice now with it, and I've had numerous conversations with you on site and numerous city staff out there. It isn't a timely issue to be having this discussion.
I know many years ago when you gave me a tour of the property, we discussed the trail, and so that's why I was surprised, given how far back I can go with that tour.
Absolutely.
That you didn't see it, but...
Absolutely, thank you. And, you know, there's an aside. I've got the horse community here, who I'm a big supporter of, and Ron's trying to eliminate trails. It wasn't a condition of annexation, but we have 61 acres adjoining the property, and I didn't use that as a condition of annexation. And we got unanimous approval for our plan to put this community together. After the fact, we have, through Dacre Stoker and the then ACOL, put a conservation easement on that 61 acres with the lake.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never be
mm-hmm.
built on. There'll never be a home on that. And what I have done, and come out and join me sometime, and I'm even from Woodside, I'll take you on a tour. We have over 5 miles of trails that I have in place because I can put them there. People can use them now. I'm not going to put an equestrian trail through a busy construction site. You've been out to my site. We've had a lot of activity. I wouldn't introduce horses. It's probably going to be the next 2 years before those trails are open in the section you're concerned about. But I do want to stop this. What can I do to stop?
Ron, let me ask you a question. Let's get back to what I think is one of the most important things right now, and that is the buffer. And how do you keep the trees, the bushes, alive? How do you water?
Well, Tom,
what's your plan for watering?
Right. My plan is to plant hardy enough species that we don't have to supplement watering. That is my plan. And Tom Rapp's recommendation was to plant the shrubbery we have planted. Now, some of it failed, and I don't know if it's 5%, 10%. You know, they will tell me what it is.
It looks like a lot. I don't know.
I think the city toured it last week. I have.
Well, it does. The percentage doesn't really count. What are we doing moving forward? How do you keep it alive?
November 1st is a date for the next round of replanting shrubbers, and I'm happy to do that. As soon as they tell me when to do it, I'll just organize that.
Well, it's certainly not the time to do it now. October is best time, certainly. But how do you keep the water? How do you plan on watering it?
I was told by Tom Rapp I won't need to artificially water those shrubberies if they get established.
That doesn't answer my question, I don't think. How do you plan to water the plants and keep them alive?
I don't plan to. And that.
Well, then they're going to die? You certainly have to water them for a while, for a period of time.
Absolutely. Well, the city's arborist told me they will. Oh, we did. When they put them in, they watered
right.
them for a bit. Yeah, they manually watered them. Sure. Absolutely. And some of them failed.
Well, now, Ron, am I missing something here? You have to have water for the plants.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And if you don't, they die. And I think that's what's happened to a lot of the plantings.
What we'll do is we'll sit with Tom Rapp again, and we'll whatever the watering schedule is for
okay.
bringing water in.
But hey, are you going to do it with a truck, or you've got big hoses, long hoses, or just how are you going to plan to do that?
Yes, we have a watering truck on site. We have a crew, a landscape crew on site as well.
And that's the question in terms of making sure that when you plant whatever plants you have, then over a period of time, they're watered sufficiently over time that you know that there's growth that's going to occur
exactly.
and is seeded in that
exactly.
soil.
And I suspect that the early heat we had this year and the usual heat that we've had this year has been brutal.
Oh, if you don't water,
we got behind on that.
Yeah.
We got behind on that. But I don't want to keep paying to replace these. I'll have a plan in place. The new ones go in, and these are manually watered until they're established, and they don't need that. And I'm sorry that happened. It's going to, cause aggravation. It's going to cost resources. It's not my intention to leave dead, shrubbery in there.
Okay, well, we certainly don't want to have to come together like this again. I mean, it's fun to be with y'all, certainly. You don't enjoy it either. And we don't need this kind of this kind of thing. So that's why I'm asking a simple question. You put the plants in and the trees or whatever you're going to put in according to...
You won't get a call on those again, I promise you.
The plan, and we've talked about this before.
We won't talk about that again, but those plants will be replaced as soon as Tom Rapp gives me a thumbs up, and they'll be on the maintenance program.
Well, I've got a feeling if you can get that buffer looking nice, that's going to take a lot of the concerns away.
Yeah.
Plus have the horse trail there. I mean, it's there now on the concept plan, so I'm assuming at this point we're not going to do anything to take that off. And so I think that relieves a couple of things, those two things, if you get that buffer going. Yes, sir.
There's one question on the, that expression about meandering into the 25-foot buffer, which is supposed to be untouched. Are we going with the assumption that that's still valid, or are we going to try to prohibit the... quote unquote meandering.
Where does it talk about meandering?
That was in the original approval in 2006.
It meanders to save trees.
Well, if we're saving trees, I would suspect that might. Yes. Okay. All right.
Mr. Mayor,
can I ask Mr. Monahan?
Yeah.
A question?
Ron, just a minute.
Mr. Monahan.
Just a minute.
Alan.
What can you say to both sides, or what can you do for both sides, both sets of residents, to satisfy both sets? I don't know whether that's possible, but what can you do to satisfy everybody? Is that possible? Is it something you can do
to
make
very
everybody
easy on my
happy?
Side. Very easy for me. I'm here to try to satisfy some reason I'm here. I've offended my horse community friends. I'm trying to eliminate. I'll do anything to try to calm things down. So I can only answer for me. I'm very willing to agree to make them happy. It's been a struggle. I haven't done anything legally wrong. And morally, I think I've stood up and done everything I'm supposed to do. And this has gone on a long time. But what can we do?
Is it possible for them to meet with you if there's an issue?
Absolutely.
Do they know how to call you and contact you, or have they done that?
My cell phone number's on a plan 6 years ago, and it's on the front page, and it's the same cell phone number. I always answer my phone, but I'm happy to meet with
the
Woodside group anytime. I'm whenever I bump into anybody on the property, I always talk to them and show them. I'm very, very accessible. I've always been, but I'll afternoon, I can meet anybody all day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day. I'm happy to sit down with Woodside Group. Maybe that might be the best thing for us to, I don't know if I can, that might be the best thing. Let's get together.
Well, there are good people on both sides of the aisle here, and it appears that they want the best because they made an investment in their property, and they want
sure.
Great scenery, and you want to be a good neighbor in every way. So I think it's best if they can see that you're a good neighbor, you're trying to do the best you can. And when there's a problem, pick up that phone and say, "Mr. Monahan, you said that you would do this, and it's not coming, and we don't want to go back before city council, and neither do you." So
I'll do it. I'll jump. And the other thing said. We've been fortunate. We've had a lot of good things happen this year. We've sold a lot of built and sold a lot of homes, added a lot of new residents. There's only one more property joining Woodside area, and then we're gone. We're moving into our development, and you won't see anything. I mean, it happened really quickly. We built 40 homes, I believe, along you. And unfortunately, the first ones were right there, and nothing happened for years. And then you know, we kind of figured something out. But we're almost done. We're almost away from you. And then that'll let the buffer get more mature. And you know, we will be building ourselves away from them. And I think that's going to help a lot as well. So I have one more lot against Woodside. And then we're going.
Mr. Monahan, do you think if you had delivered the items that was promised in the original concept plan?
Have I delivered
them? We'd be here tonight. I mean, if those were... follow through.
Yes, I do. You've heard the last couple of meetings. There's issues from 6 years ago that are brought to the table every time. You know, I know there's a group of people that were upset that I bought the land next door. They were told apparently that it was never be developed. I never said that. I had the misfortune of buying some property next to some established neighborhood where some people in particular thought no one would ever build there. And I can't get out from under that. I believe there's nothing I can do to make some people in this room happy. But I'll try. I do feel I did everything responsibly that my concept plan said, except I haven't built my horse trail, but it doesn't say I need to build it right now because it's not ready to build it right now. That's the only thing. And we had a setback with erosion. There's some ugly rock. It looks dangerous if you rode a horse across it right now, but it's not a horse trail right now. It will be. So if that answers your question, I've done everything by the book, and I think I've gone beyond, and I'm very accessible. And I got a phone call 5 days ago. This was going to happen tonight, and here I am. I'm not involved in this. There's meetings about me. I'm not involved in them, and I'd love to be.
Ron, will you commit that you're going to plant those? Everything needs to be planted in October? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I'll have a plan to manually water those until they're established. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think.
3 minutes.
Well, before Mr. Monahan leaves, and this all started in March of last year about the trail, and the plannings and all of that have been done and will be done, and I'm one of your reporters, believe it or not, people ask about the Ridge of Chucker Creek, where it's supposed to be equestrian. And I quickly say, if you'd have built another equestrian community around this town and county, I think you would have been in trouble. But I think what you've done by changing the appropriate roads around and the way you build in the houses, it's a very nice neighborhood. And I've talked to at least three or four of the homeowners, and they're tickled to death with it.
Thank you.
It's also a very nice, not only that, very nice area. Creates one heck of a tax base. You are selling homes where other additions are not.
Exactly.
So I think that's very important. And my engineering background unfortunately comes out sometimes. I think the real issue is still the administrative decision about meandering the trail without saving any trees. I do think that's a real problem for you to put in the trail without that. But I'm not going to back off of that position, and I don't know how I deal with the city. Our beef is with the city and not with you, and as Mr. Rich says, you know, may not have a horse in the fight about the, we don't. But so our beef is with the city. That's what I stated when I sent my email to discuss the taking out of trees in the 25-foot buffer. And there's a discrepancy between what myself and the East Pleasant Colony people interpret item 4 of the original concept plan. And between us and the city, you know, and right now it's an administration ruling that we disagree with, which doesn't affect you.
Another comment here.
Let's see, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think what the people from Woodside would like to hear is that a sprinkler system would be put in, because despite the fact that you plant everything in October, everything does need water. And I think the people from Woodside, if they heard that, would feel a lot better, Ron. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. As was pointed out in the original concept plan, number 4, I always do that.
Turn it off.
Hold on.
But if you'll let Mr. Bebo help you, sir, he knows that machine and he can get it working, so it'll work for you.
Well, my point is, when it shows up, there was never an intention of a 25-foot horse trail and a 25-foot buffer. There was a 50-foot buffer of which the horse trail would run through. And that's number 4 in the concept plan. So there were no two separate buffers. It was a 50-foot buffer. So that's my first point. My second point is, despite... That would be number 4 there. The development would provide a 50-foot wide equestrian trail and vegetative buffer. There was no delineation of 25 feet and 25 feet. Whatever it took to put that equestrian trail in that 50-foot buffer. My second point is the notion, because Mr. Moynihan is a horse person and he's been extremely friendly to the horse community, but the notion that these trails were going nowhere and there was never an intention going nowhere... From his own concept plan, the 4 miles of trails on the site are intended for use and enjoyment by all the public. The goal is to link these trails with adjacent landowners in an expanding network which will extend from Chucka Creek to Anderson Pond to Chime Bell Church Road. So it's an integral part of what was intended in 2006 and what we hope to complete in the next year or two. So... As was said, I think this is an enforcement issue, and I would ask you to take the ordinance, either table it or withdraw it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Baer.
Bill Clare.
Yes, Bill.
I'm Bill Clare. A letter that was submitted from Mike Randall in December of 2005. In the conclusion, asking for annexation, it says, our proposal creates a unique equestrian community in which the enjoyment and responsibility for the land and facilities are shared equally by the homeowners. Having been a developer and looking far into the future in this development, eventually... Every developer wants to leave and gets the right to, and the homeowners take over the amenities. And these horse trails are going to have to be maintained by the homeowners association. The expense of maintaining them, the responsibility for maintaining them, the buffer too. And I don't know what tools the city of Aiken has for making a homeowner association maintain a horse trail. Even the system. I mean, this community started out to be an equestrian community with 270 homes. The density is probably going to be two-thirds that when everything's said and done now, because the lots are much bigger than originally concepted. So the homeowner association is going to have less income, and more responsibility. So I think it's in everybody's best interest to look into the future and say, is that equestrian trail something that these homeowners want? And we've polled the homeowners that live there now. There's probably 40 or 45 homes. Nobody wants to be burdened with the equestrian aspect of this as originally conceived. And, you know, concept plans change. If Ron had been 2 years earlier, you know, he would have been done and this would have been a grand equestrian community, but it's not anymore. So the equestrian trails, given the equestrian trails are private, they're not to be, I realize what the marketing materials say, but in actuality, this is a private community with private trails that the homeowners will have to maintain someday. So I think some thought should be put into how do we prepare for that in the future, given, you know, you're going to have a lot of people in here yelling about in 5 or 6 years about the developer's gone and now they're not being maintained. So
why is this a responsibility of the city?
I don't think
the
it is.
The homeowners association.
That's correct. But who forces the homeowners association down? I mean, I've run homeowner associations. So homeowner associations can say, well, we're just going to leave it as open space. We're not going to maintain it as a horse trail. Who has the authority to tell them that they have to?
The residents.
I mean, that's my question. I realize there might not be an answer right now.
Mr. Attorney?
The development is expected to comply with the concept plan in the future. And the city has ordinance summons which they can use to, you know, hold those who own the property that's supposed to be a certain way accountable.
Right. But what I'm saying is, seeing the problem in the future, it might be worth looking at now to see if the concept plan should be revised to meet how this community is actually being developed rather than how it was proposed.
That's
for others to decide, but that's...
Well, should not the record state clearly right now, Mr. Attorney, that this is not the responsibility of the city, so that in the future, whoever sitting in our seats 10, 15 years from now, I will not wonder whether this is a responsibility of the city versus the homeowners association?
I apologize. I think we're confusing issues here. I mean, the issue is whether or not we're going to amend the concept plan to delete an equestrian trail, and we're getting into a really deep conversation.
I know, the future.
Well, it's something.
I don't have an answer.
Have you all looked at that question and determined how you're going to handle it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've talked with Ron many times that the the equestrian concept really isn't what Ron initially envisioned. Nobody that lives there, I don't think anybody owns a horse that lives there, do they? Yeah. I mean, they were all supposed to own horses. That's what the concept was. So.
But no one has a horse? The 40-some-odd folks that are out there, no one has a horse?
No.
Well, let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever looked at possibly just leaving the 50-foot buffer as it was written in the original concept plan and maybe rerouting the horse? Is there a place or something that would be suitable for a different location of the horse trail?
If I could speak to that, if you look at... what's been cited to you tonight, that condition 4, there is a 50-foot buffer, but 25 is designated undisturbed and 25 is designated the equestrian trail. And the issues that Mr. Collick's raising tonight is what we discussed last week, and that's the reason the ordinance is on for consideration. That's why we did what we did.
Is it mandatory that each homeowner join the... Join the organization?
It's in the restricted covenants.
Huh?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
It's the property ownership that puts
you... So the question is still here. Do we delete the equestrian trail along the northern boundary?
Yeah, we can vote if we have motion second to deny this tonight. That essentially takes it off the table. You know, we're not approving it, certainly. We're just denying this change. Okay.
Yes,
okay. One more. I think we've got to move on now. Right. Come on. Okay. Come on. That's fine. Maybe three. Then. Take 4 or 5.
All right. I'm Becky Lorraine Dick Smith's daughter. I live in Hollow Creek, and
As the vice president of the Homeowners Association in Hollow Creek, we have 47 lots. Mm-hmm. We have a 5-mile equestrian trail we are responsible for maintaining. We maintain all the common grounds, and our annual assessment dues are $300 for 47 lots. So when you say you can't maintain those equestrian trails because the homeowners are going to have this huge amount to pay for 200-plus homeowners, I beg to differ.
Right.
Thank you.
Becky, what area was that? Was that how?
Hollow Creek.
Hollow Creek, okay.
So we have an interest in connecting with the equestrian trails.
Right.
That was what we were sold, and we would like to see our trails connect with the whole system, including the 501c.
Do people, the residents have horses where you're living?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
But I would say not all of them, maybe half. That's, we bought into an equestrian farm. Whether we wanted to have chickens, mm-hmm. it is platted or county property that is 5-acre minimum horse property. So we have many neighbors, some that are here, that don't have horses, but they like the environment. And Aiken is an equestrian environment. So maintaining a dirt trail is not a costly endeavor. Landscaping, irrigation, that you have to invest in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Becky.
Okay.
I'm Dick Smith's daughter.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, and the city attorney probably have to help with the motion after so much discussion. A move that we deny the request to remove the trail.
I'll second.
That's the right word.
I think you did it okay.
Huh?
I think you did it okay. Not bad for an engineer.
And we had a second to Steve.
That.
Had a second. Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, sir. Direction to the city attorney. My question about meandering the trail and not taking out any trees, administrative decision. You said earlier that I've waited too long to appeal that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some physical restraints out there that a number of us know about that are going to be very difficult to overcome. So what do we do here?
I think that's an issue that can be discussed with the city staff at a different time. I don't think that has to be handled tonight.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll send my petition back into the city then. Okay, thank you.
So that'll come to my office.
That's correct. I'll send it to you again.
The reason I second it is because I just don't see where, you know, the horse trail is somewhere in the future. I don't think it's going to impede setting up the barrier. Now, whether the, you know, ultimately whether the 25-foot horse trail is going to be, what, 12.5 feet on the right and 12.5 feet on the left, as long as it blocks out the view that the people on the Pleasant Colony Drive want, you know, we can do that. That is meandering, I expect. By eliminating the horse trail right now, it's self-eliminating because you can't build it there. But you can't put vegetation in there either with all those rocks and so forth. So I think the best plan is just to keep it as a potential in the future. If we change the concept in the future, maybe so. But let's try to block off as much barrier as we can by vegetation and then attack that other problem. But it'll be I venture to say it's probably 2 or 3 years downstream.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, any other discussion items? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor of this denial? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, thank you all very much for your comments. I appreciate it.
We've got one more item for the agenda.
Yeah. Okay, item 2 under new business, approval of the request from the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce to use Park Avenue and contiguous areas for Aiken's Macon on September 7th and 8th, 2012.
Pierce. Thank you, Mayor. We've received a request from the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce to again use Park Avenue in the area between Union Street and Chesterfield Street for the annual Aikens Making Celebration. That will be on Friday, September 7 from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, September 8 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You'll see that we've attached an agreement to the memo that I provided council. Our insurance carrier in Columbia has insisted that we have on file a written agreement to show the chamber's position. What I provided you in the council agenda package has been reviewed by Tom Young, his attorney for the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce. Buzz Rich has stayed behind tonight. Of course, he's elected the chair of the board of directors for the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce. He's reviewed that. Gary Smith and I have reviewed it as well, and everyone's in agreement that the revised version that I provided you at the start of tonight's meeting is something that protects everyone's interest, with the city council providing this approval. It's the first time we've had to do that, but it's just something that has been asked by our carrier in Columbia. So the for the vote tonight is approval of a request for the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce to use Park Avenue and contiguous areas for the Aikens Making Celebration, September 7 and 8, and that the agreement be executed prior to that use.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Move for approval of the request from the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce to use Park Avenue and contiguous areas.
I have a second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not,
I just want to make certain, this draft's got a number of versions. This lease.
No, it's the most recent version that Tom sent out this afternoon.
He'll just have to come back every time.
Boss.
No, no. I provided them with Tom's updated version this afternoon, which is what I said in my remarks before the meeting. They've got Tom's latest, fresh, right off the press.
Have you got a copy of that?
He does.
We are.
Okay.
Motion to second it.
Yeah, you've got a motion. So.
All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Okay, thank you. All right, is anything else to come across?
I didn't have anything else.
Thank God. We are adjourned.
That's for our meeting on the 26th.